and welcome to episode 124 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where the small press makes one hell of a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, creator of The Red Mask from Mars, and I'm joined, as always, by the creator of the webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
The man who spends most of his time overground and underground, wombling free, it's Tony Esmond.
We missed you yesterday. We had the funniest day ever in the world.
Well, you clearly didn't miss me that much then.
We did. And anyone who needs to see how brilliant it was, just go to the Dan video on the Facebook group.
Which is my favourite video of all time.
We were just doing the taking the piss out of the rich bleeding cool
from one side of the convention to the other. I love the fact just from the start you don't even take the camera with you. You just walk off.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what though, Dan, you're the only one of us who doesn't have a face for radio.
Yeah, you're looking good, man. A lot of people commented on that, haven't they?
Yeah.
Well, when I was there, they said I was a lot bigger than they expected me to be. How big do you expect me to be?
Also, when did they tell you this?
Yeah, it was kind of a bit odd. Okay, all right.
That was in the VIP room.
Yeah,
the blue room. Toilets. Before it all goes wrong, we are joined by a very special guest. It's probably only the second time we've had another podcaster on the show, I would say.
Yeah.
Are we right?
Mm.
Which is odd, because they're about 10 a penny.
Yeah. They are. But, we're the best one, aren't we?
No comments.
How bad are the fucking others?
Yes, and already he's piped up, and I need to get his name right, because not many people do. It's Ian Loxham.
Correct.
The Comic Art Festival Podcast.
I thought we'd just get a dead line then when you fucked it up.
Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for joining us.
Enjoying your podcast this week, very much.
Excellent.
So.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yes, it's one of the good ones, folks, that you really should be listening to.
I say, like you said, there's plenty out there, to be fair.
Yeah.
I think there's more comics podcasts than people in the world, aren't there, sometimes?
Yeah. I think so. And it does feel like there's more popping up, like, every so often. But the key to it is it's longevity, isn't it?
We said that once we get over 100, we'll be happy. We said that, didn't we?
Yeah. And we're still going. Oh,
that's going to take me a long time to get to 100. Jeez.
No, you're kicking them out, man, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Twice a month.
Yeah.
There you go. Good. Kicking out the jams.
That's true.
What's that mean?
You've seen rolls around.
Yeah, trust me. Trust me, the triple figures rolls around and you just think, how did I get this far?
Why? Why did I get this far?
Yeah, I mean, you're on your summer holidays, next minute it's Christmas. And then you're like, fuck.
No, that's called growing old.
Yeah.
It's weird because I was just thinking we're going to have to start compiling our best of the year soon, aren't we?
I know.
So we do that at Christmas, don't we?
Yeah, I know.
And I've actually sent tweets out today doing exactly the same thing.
Have you? Yeah.
It's already started.
I mean, this year to me feels like it's gone by really fast. So when it comes to compiling like the best of list, as it were, I can't remember anything I've read. Do you?
No. I have to go through the show notes.
Yeah, because you have to go back through the past shows, don't you, to sort of say, oh yeah, I did that, didn't I, this year?
Yeah.
But I think there's going to be one or two titles in our best of the year that are going to be fairly unanimous, I think.
I think there are, mate. Yeah, there are. Definitely.
I think we should mention one to say that this is great and we're going to leave it out because we're all going to pick it. We can talk about it.
We'll have to put one on a mantelpiece and ignore it while we do. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Or perhaps this year we do the special Group Love Award.
The Circle Jerk Award.
The Circle Jerk.
This is in the toilets again, yeah.
Yeah.
That's where we do all our recording.
Is your cubicle comfortable, Ian? Just want to make sure.
I have a special cushion.
Look through that hole, you can see me. There you go.
Oh, dear. And
speaking of holes. Oh, I got you.
You son of a. But anyway, speaking of special, this show, as always, is brought to you with the help of our special sponsors, Comic House. The place that is hugely exciting right now, and everyone's going to want to be a part of, because not only are they helping keep the lights on and sponsor us very kindly, But they're great guys, and they're kicking ass in the name of independent comics. On the website, you'll see all kinds of awesome titles that you should check out and be able to pick up and actually support the independent creators. But not only that, they are doing an app which is in the beta phase at the moment. And it's basically Netflix for comics. I know we say that every week, but it's such a strong tagline. I don't. When you say that, you know exactly what you're getting, really. And yeah, Dan Butchers, you're all over it, like white on rice.
Yeah, because my iPad's gone up the toilet at the moment, or down the toilet. So not literally. So, but Dan, you were showing me it yesterday. It looks fucking brilliant.
Yeah, it's great. I was kind of honestly, I was surprised at how polished it is. It's like it's pretty much ready to go. There's so many titles on it. It's so really well laid out and easy to navigate. I'm just blown away. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah,
I must say we've got a copy ourselves, and the titles, some big name titles on there. That's the thing. Not just
there's loads of Star Trek on there and all sorts. I never expected
a bit of Dread on there as well.
Yeah. No, that's great news.
Yeah, it is literally putting its money where its mouth is, isn't it? You know, I mean, it's a big thing to ask, like especially for small or independent comics, and they're doing it with the right frame of mind, and they're doing it professionally. And I'm hugely excited about this app.
And Pete's a good guy, actually. It's nice because I speak to Pete probably every week, and top bloke. Yeah, definitely.
I said definitely get your title on there now before the thing launches at the end of November.
Yeah,
sort of get caught up in that initial surge of people picking it up.
Yeah,
it's very simple to do. If you can make a PDF out of your comic, you've done like 2/3 of the work.
Yeah,
and all you need is a bit of blurb and some information which you can easily supply and load up on the website. It's very simple.
Yeah, and if you want to know more about it, you can go to comichouse.com/app and sign up today. Go to comichouse.com and check out all the great titles that they just have on the website anyway, so you can actually get physical copies of the comics as well if you want to. But not only that, but we here at the Awesome Pod
have
something very special. As Dan said, the app is going live, I've been told on the grapevine, November the 21st.
Oh, okay.
Now, leading up to then, every week we're going to be giving away a 12-month subscription to the app.
How good is that?
Yeah,
that's great.
As a prize. So thank you very much to the guys at Comic House for offering that to our lovely listeners. But, of course, we're not just chucking it away. You've got to work for it, people. We want to see you work for it.
Not in any kind of pervy way.
Oh, right, okay. So, lads, what have we suggested this week that people do?
Oh, shall I read out what I wrote to you on the WhatsApp earlier?
You should, because I've forgotten it. No.
Okay, right, here we go. Let me just scroll through. Here we go. Please don't tell the Daily Mail that I... No, that's the wrong one.
No, that's the wrong one. That's the other chat. We can't... Not here, not now, not like this.
Yeah. Lock the door, drop your trousers. No. I'll get to it. Hang on. Here it is. Right. Tell us why small press is great. We'd like to hear from you, dear listener. The answer can be written. You could draw it. You could video it yourself doing something. That was Vince's suggestion.
What? No, it wasn't. What?
Yeah. Or you could do something in the form of mime or dance. So something like that. So we just want to hear from you in some way or other why small press is great. And from that, we'll choose a winner and you'll get a 12-month subscription.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yes, so great.
We're essentially going to vote on who... I mean, we're probably going to get lots of funny responses.
That's what we want, though.
We're going to, but also... Yeah. I want them to, in part, to take it partly serious because there's a 12-month subscription up for grabs.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are bribable, to be fair. I will put it out there. We are completely corrupt in every single way.
I am a big fan of Treeslets, which come out every Christmas. They used to be called...
What are you going about this last year?
They used to... Apparently, I demolished 3 boxes last year and I'm trying to outdo my record. I'm already on 2. Yeah.
So how will they send it in? By the email for the show?
Or just put it on the Facebook page if they want.
Yeah.
I reckon put it on the Facebook, tweet us it, Dropbox link us it, email it to the emails we'll announce at the end of the show, so it means you have to listen to the show.
Tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Let's have all the answers going in that one. Yeah.
Okay, cool. That's the coolness.
That's the cool one. So so basically, if there's any dirty videos, I'm not going to see them because Tony will get the things in.
You are. I'm going to make you watch them.
No, But it's yeah. So there you go. That's the question, folks. We look forward to seeing, hearing, reading whatever your answers are. And like I say, this is over the next couple of weeks. We're going to be giving this away.
So, yes.
I know. We get a lot of listeners on the first day as soon as the episode goes live. So if you immediately,
it won't be the first. It will be the best.
Exactly. Or
you, if you listen to us, you know what sort of shite we talk about and like. And it will be something that appeals to us. Yeah, so have a think about that as
but
well.
Let's not forget, we are human beings with feelings and emotions. And so Wallace. if you say something deeply profound that moves us,
yeah, we're all old softies, aren't we?
We are. Yeah. And if we're moved,
you could be in with a chance.
Even if it's some video like Dan did, that was quite good. We'd like that, something like that, maybe.
Superb. Yeah. Anyway, so thank you very much to the guys at Comic House. Now, this week, obviously, Ian's joining us, and yes. And we're going to be talking about all kinds of comics and conventions and comic goodness in a moment. But yesterday, as we're saying, Dan and Tony went somewhere without me.
I know. Wasn't like that. I had with that.
I missed you because I didn't bring a cloth for the table. I fucked up. Like instantly.
Hang on, did you only miss me because of something I could
provide? No, that was just one of the many reasons.
No, whatever.
I was like, fucked up here. I didn't bring a bloody cloth for the table and realised I don't actually own one, so I have to sort that out. But I tell you, it was really good.
Where were you guys yesterday?
So we went to Wimbledon Comic Art Festival, which was at Merton Library in Wimbledon, and it was run by Rick Jackson, our friend. And I'll tell you what, he pulled a blinder on it. Fucking brilliant. Really well.
Yeah,
he was running around at the start. I'll be honest, at the start I thought it was a bit quiet, but as soon as sort of the afternoon hit, it became really busy, didn't it?
I was honestly surprised. I thought we were going to be like sitting here and there's not going to be a lot of people. It was the opposite. It was loads of people.
Yeah.
It was lots of footfall. If I was going to compare it to London Super Comic Con, it was more footfall that compared to the size of the area we had. And
We got more people at our table. We did quite well on sales. Yeah, it was good. That was the joke that was going around, was there's more people here now than there were at London Super Comic Con. That was a hilarious joke that was doing the rounds. And the Deputy Mayor opened it, didn't she?
Yeah. The Deputy Mayor of Merton.
Didn't come and speak to us afterwards. Yeah. She spoke to everyone but me and you.
She held her hands up, said, I don't read comics, I don't know anything about this.
Yeah.
And kind of...
I think we looked a bit scary, didn't we?
And we all gave a round of applause.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah. But there's loads of people there. You were next to the Hawk and Cleaver guys, weren't you?
Yeah, Ben and Luke. They're absolute champs. They're really nice blokes.
Yeah, we had a right laugh in them, didn't we?
Yeah, we sort of saying, because they got a lot more fiction than they have comics. They've got El Marvo, but they and lots of books. And they were kind of wondering how they were going to get on. And I said, well, you're in the library. We've got books. And they did really well. Lots of people came up and they were buying the books.
Yeah. Just people who were just like people from Wimbledon were popping in and, you know, it was good like that. People were coming, comics, and we're giving away free postcards.
Free to enter event, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah, free to tables, free to enter. Yeah, and I think lots of people who just looked like they turned up at the library were popping in and with their kids, because it was rainy. Everyone was, you know, you go to take your kids to the library, I suppose, when it's rainy, don't you? You know.
Yeah.
Storytelling table where they had every hour a creator would take the table and then lead people through doing like. Kids especially had to do storytelling with comics, and then the other table was just kind of like freeform drawing and stuff. I was on that for an hour.
You created a masterpiece, didn't you?
I drew a picture of Wolverine, and then I drew Vince in Rome, and I did very kind of, there's loads of kids around, and so I can go I'd keep it tame.
Should we mention some of the other people there as well? So my favourite thing of the day was Dave Brown turned up, and if you go on the Facebook page, you see me and him did like an experiment on see how quickly you could do a Silver Surfer comic, not for sale or anything. We just did it for a bit of fun, and Dave had it printed up just as sort of for me and him, really, you know. And he gave me a sort of bound book with a load of the original art in, and he gave me the front cover of it, and it is fucking brilliant. This is like the nicest thing I think I've ever been given. It's like this sort of, he's bound the script with all of his little notes in the margins and stuff like that, and then he's given me like a load of the original art that he's done, and then he gave me the cover. Yeah, absolutely brilliant. And Dave came to the pub after, didn't he? Yeah.
He was sort of saying that he wanted to see how, by kind of bringing the art style down a little and not being as detailed, how quickly he could turn it around.
Yeah.
I think he turned it around in a number of days, wasn't it?
It was like 8 days. Awful. Yeah, he did 20 days. Pages and coloured and lettered, yeah.
He did how many pages?
21 pages, including the cover, and then 2 pages of adverts and stuff, you know.
And he lettered it and coloured it in 8 days.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, and it's good. You know, he's really good. You know, it's well, not because of the writing, that's awful, but the you know, his art is just really, really well done.
Tony, the writing's cracking, mate.
Thank you, man, cheers. But what it was, I think is we did like, it was like, I think he was testing me. I think it was like, old Dave was testing me because me and him are now moving on to doing another sort of longer form thing. And I'll get on really well with Dave. I've known Dave for years. And I think Dave is destined for 2000 AD. There's no... Do you know him, Ian? Have you ever come across his art?
I haven't, to be honest, no.
Right.
No.
Yeah, he does a lot of stuff for Dog Breath and Zarjazz and all those sort of things, you know, the 2000 AD fan magazines. Mm-hmm. But it's really, really nice stuff. So we chatted about it yesterday. We're going to have a phone conference about it. It's probably tomorrow, about the next project, which I'm quite excited about. So that's pretty good. Gaz turned up. Gaz Harding, who's a friend of mine. He's actually a friend of mine from work, but we didn't give each other the secret handshake. They're into comics. We've known each other for a donkey's years.
He's such a nice bloke.
He's top bloke, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a really nice guy.
And he's got a bit of a project on the go, which we'll probably talk about in a couple of weeks. It'd be nice to get a little interview with him in the bag. He's doing a sort of novel about about characters and stuff, which is really interesting stuff. He was there. I was next to Centrala Books, who we've talked about a bit on the show before, haven't we? Centrala, this sort of foreign translation company from Poland. And they gave me a couple of books. Old Farts, which if anyone saw me, I posted it earlier on Twitter, and it's not a book about me. It's a book about, it's sort of an art project book. And they gave me a couple of books, which, watch this space, because I'll be talking about them in the next couple of weeks.
Awesome.
Sarah Harris, good old Sarah, she came down all the way from sunny Swindon. She came down and was great company and ended up in the pub, obviously, with us.
Yeah.
She seemingly gets a weekly mention. But, she does. But, but Sarah...
She was saying how she was being recognised on the streets in...
literally. Sarah, it's not hard to miss her, is it? With her bright red... Was it pink this week, wasn't it?
Pink hair.
Yeah. So she's good company, and it was sort of in a circle in the pub later. Gareth Hopkins was sharing a table with Matt Garvey, which was just constantly making me laugh, because every time Gareth came over for a chat, Garvey was shouting over, "Oi, you've got a sale, get back."
Yeah. Talking about sexual harassment, Matt Garvey was naked from the waist up at one point in that con.
Was he?
His eyes almost popped out of my head. Yeah.
Did you see the print I bought from Heather Chapman, the Soho?
Yeah, oh man, that's great.
Oh, so good. Yeah, I think she's a friend of Rick's and helped organise it. And then Richard Sheaf, who is a fellow Down the Tubes writer and a good friend of mine, and he's doing the write-up this week, so it's quite nice of him to take the weight off my shoulders. So he was good company as well. Who else was there, Dan? Come on. Avery Hill.
Avery Hill.
Gareth Brooks was there, who's a friend of mine. And he's been on your show, hasn't he, Gareth?
Gareth is a lovely guy, yeah. His books are amazing.
Yeah, he's funny.
Yeah, we had a chat to him at the Lakes, actually, yeah. No, such a good guy.
Oh, he made it in the end, because I know he's done every Lakes, isn't he?
Yeah. No, brilliant. Brilliant guy.
Gareth, I don't get a mention on your show, which I was a bit pissed off about, because he talks about how he started going to conventions, and that was because he started sharing the table with me. Him and Steve Tillerson, they started with me. But yeah, I've known Gareth for years, and
that's quite a reputation to have, isn't it, starting a table with you.
I know yeah. I once bought him a comic called Supergirl and Super Horse, which he thought was very funny. I can't think why.
I said one thing about the small press events, when I turn up and I think, well, I know quite a few people in small press, or know of them, or them, and then there's like half, two-thirds of the hall, so I've never heard of these people.
It was a bit like that, wasn't it? And it's good like that, wasn't it? Yeah, and we got around, spoke to loads of people. Even though everyone was looking after each other's tables and all that sort of thing. And, I have to say, in the same way I felt when I came away from Nottingham and also Thought Bubble this year, I came away hugely enthused by it all.
Mm. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Really, really cheered up by the whole convention scene and ready to do something else, you know?
Me personally, I know we've spoken about this leading up to the show.
Yeah.
You know, off air and stuff, but it's the smaller events and these kind of like these pop-up events that do get me more energized. They do. It's just so much more positive a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Than some of the conventions. Don't you find?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you think it's partly like when I've done these small events, there's less pressure,
expectation,
on the exhibitors and stuff. So, you know, I go into these things not expecting anything, and you're totally surprised by the new audience and the new people you're meeting. You know, and that's one of the things that sort of excites me most about conventions is meeting new people. Which is quite weird because I'm an antisocial comic reader who lives.
We don't really like anyone doing that.
But it is that social interaction that gives you the biggest buzz, isn't it? Really.
Yeah, and I came away. I woke up this morning with a sore throat because we were just laughing and chatting the whole day. You know, it's one of those things. Mm. Oh, and a little shout to Scarlett and Sophie Rickard, who I'll be talking about in my recommends later. And I got a little short interview from them, which we'll hear a bit later, won't we?
Do you hear that, folks? He went out and actually got a bit of audio.
I know. We were meant to get loads, and we just didn't.
It never, look,
didn't expect to be that busy.
Yeah, we didn't, did we? Yeah.
It's hard work, this recording, Malarkey, I tell you.
Yeah.
Finally, someone who understands.
It seriously is. When you've got other things to do that's interesting, and you've got to stand and talk to people, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes you're in a conversation, you need to whip it out and start recording. Yeah.
Sorry?
It's almost like a bit. There's a social nicety to you just chatting to someone. You go, "Oh, am I getting some of this on recorder?" And they think, "Oh, I thought I was just having a conversation with this guy." You know, it's a weird dynamic, you know.
And you can't even rely on the last 2 hours of a convention because you think, "Oh, well, you know, I've been busy in the day, but when it calms down a bit, we'll get some more audio then." But at that point, your batteries are running low yourself, so you don't always feel as eager to go up and speak to people because you.
Plus, on this one, Rick came over and went. Oh, it's so busy, we're going to extend it by another half an hour. We ended up extending it for more than that, you know?
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, it was good, yeah.
We said it was going to go until 4, was it? And it's like, we've got to be out there by 5. So come 4 o'clock, I started like packing around. The Hawk and Cleaver boys started packing away. I go, no, we've got another like 20 minutes, half hour. Yeah. Then went on for like another 40.
Yeah. That's a sign of success. I have to say, I messaged Rick today saying, same time next year, mate. And he said, oh, brilliant, yeah, definitely. So
definitely had to recommend it. Played a blinder. He did really well.
Yeah,
and it was definitely one of those people who was like, right, there's nothing happening in this sort of area. I want to make something happen. And so hats off to Rick and the team for putting this all together.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so there you go. They left me alone. Well, actually.
Yeah, no, yeah.
No,
you'll have to come next year, man. Come and stay with me next year.
Well, I only just got back from holiday, so I was no good to anyone. So.
You've been eating mini rolls near the oldest building in Italy or something, weren't you?
Right. I posted that picture and someone said, what's next? The Jammy Dodger.
that could be like a series, couldn't it?
Do you know what? If I realised, I would have done a whole set. Because I am a massive loser.
You're the massive... you're YOLO for life, aren't you?
I am.
I was wearing the t-shirt, the old small press comics.
And if anyone subscribes to the mailer, I should be doing a little review of the convention on that this week. So
there you go.
There'll be a lot of sexy photographs of Dan on that one.
Lovely.
Embed the video.
Okay, I need the readers. Got to put sexy Dan on there.
Yeah. He's the cover model star of this podcast.
Yes.
It's just a sound sign.
Maxim, that's us.
Anyway, is that the final convention or comics event?
I've got one more. There's a small press thing in Catford, I think, in about a month.
In December?
Yeah.
Blimey.
Gareth Hopkins is doing it. A couple of others, Avery Hill might be doing it, I think. So I'm going to go down. Because Catford's my old stomping ground from when I was a teenager, so I'm going to head down. And do that just for, you know, just see the area again. Yeah. Meet up with a few people, yeah.
When you were a teenager, like when you had long, flowing hair.
I did. Had a ponytail as well.
And you had hopes and dreams. Can you remember?
I used phone boxes rather than mobiles. Yeah,
so apart from the Catford one, I think this is 2017's most of the comic conventions in the bag, isn't it, I think?
Yeah.
It's been another hell of a year. I can honestly say that. How has it been a hell of a year? Now, to kick off this general chit-chat we're going to have, We chucked up a poll earlier today.
Oh.
Yeah. Ooh. Like we do. We're gangsters. We can do what we want.
Got a fair bit of responses on it, didn't we?
We had a fair few responses indeed.
Oh, did we? Oh, cool.
Yeah. So we said, with 2017 almost at an end, we want to know, exhibitor or visitor, mm-hmm. what have your overall convention experiences been like this year? Now, we're at a time where there's conventions all over the shop, isn't there? You know, there's seemingly one every week. They're fighting with each other for which weekend to be on. And, yeah, I know I've certainly gone to more this year than I thought I was going to. I was planning to have kind of a year off. And then...
you were, weren't you? You said that a while ago, didn't you?
Yeah. And, like, it seemingly I've done more than I normally do. I don't know how that happened. But anyway, so we had four answers on this poll. First one was, everyone has been great. Second, overall, it's been pretty good. Third was, okay, better in other years. And the fourth one, it's not been good at all. So what do you think was the overall thought from our listeners or people on the Twitter, whether you're exhibitor or visitor, remember? So this is quite it's a broad question, like all of our polls.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
Yeah,
I think the second one down. What was that? It's generally been good. I would have thought.
Generally good.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's overall you see on Twitter generally positive. Yeah.
What has it been like for you? How many shows have you managed to get to this year?
I'll be honest. We don't get much up around here at all. There's a
you
lot
live
of
in the mountains, don't you?
Exactly. There's a lot of MCM style shows within traveling distance, which I'm just not interested in.
Yeah.
And that's really about it. I think the closest really is going to be Leeds Thought Bubble, which I didn't get to this year, sadly. So
that's a growing sort of thought, though, for a lot of people, like the MCMs. How many times have we heard people sort of saying, I'm not interested in those shows? You know, whether they've been to them in the past and it's just not for them or they, it's just...
There's, I'd rather go myself than go to one.
A bit of change on that, the MCM front, though, isn't there?
They've bought it, haven't they? So
they've been bought, yeah.
Yeah, so the people who run New York, I think, have bought it, haven't they? Is that right?
Oh, really?
There's been, lots of sort of, speaking to a couple of people yesterday, been asked, approached, and said, we want to do X, Y, and Z with the MCMs. How does this sound? And a lot of it was kind of mixing up the small press with the
That's
big
it.
Creators.
Not ghettoizing it, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not like all the comic guys are locked away in a corner, the small press guys. They're mixed up with the big guys, so everyone's sitting with each other.
Yeah.
That'd be really interesting.
What does that sort of idea mean for shows like London Super Comic Con, where one of their selling points was essentially that, mixing up the larger creators with the smaller?
We've not heard if they're they're happening again this year. I mean, their old time slot of, was it February or March, was it previously? Obviously not going to get filled.
No, and they're not doing that anymore.
Yeah, and they need to start announcing soon, because you're getting events that are being announced into June and July now, and an event that's that big and had such bad word of mouth last year, or the
this year was going to be a bit of a holdover, and next year they got something big planned. Like, they've done no talk about that, and there's no groundwork being laid. So kind of you're coming off a bad experience of this year, and people are going to be reticent about coming on board for next.
We've got a bit of a friend who knows, who's a bit in the know. We're going to ask them to ask, but we haven't heard anything. It'll be interesting to see what they do.
Yeah, they play their cards very close to their chest.
Yeah, they do. They really do. Because remember, we tried to get an interview with them afterwards, didn't we? And nothing. They literally ran off from us.
And the thing is, most shows now, especially with the shows that we know of and like we love and things, they will, shortly after they've had a successful event, they'll be like, see you next year, and they'll start talking about it and start planning it. They'll announce things. I know certainly Cardiff has announced their intentions, I believe. Obviously we've got True Believers, Leamington's announced it, you know.
We know the date for a couple of others that are after London, don't we, as well?
I think the Lakes, Ian, am I right thinking that they've already got
a date. Yeah, 12th to the 14th of October again, so they're ready to go.
They announced it fairly soon after this year's happened.
Oh, yeah, matter of days. Yeah. They were ready. Yeah. They're all booked in, they have to deal with the council, so it's got to be booked in way in advance.
One of the things I've kind of come to the revelation of in the past kind of 6 months is that all these shows are run by people rather than big, giant conglomerates.
Yeah.
I think that's the exception with maybe MCM. But certainly with London Super Comic Con, the Lakes, T-Bubs and all that kind of stuff, they're people and they're kind of fallible. They make mistakes. They come sometimes not quite sure what they're doing. And I kind of give them a lot more slack now than thinking there's just like a massive corporation where there's offices and offices of people, because it's not.
No, if you look at some of the ones we go to, you know, you've obviously got Stuart doing Two Believers, you've got Dan doing Leamington, you've got Iz doing Cardiff, you know, and all this sort of thing. We know these people, and they are very sort of, you know, they'll have two Twitter accounts and they'll work hard on it, and, you know, but I've never seen the forward-facing people for London. I've heard rumours about who they are, but I've never ever said...
I don't know who they are.
And we've booked tables with them a couple of times now, and, you know, when we've asked for people to come on the show, and, you know, we've never had...
episodes based entirely on London Super Comic Con.
Yeah, and we've approached them. We've said, "Oh, can we speak to someone?" And we'll get back to you. You know, we've never been presented with who is actually in charge of it. You know?
They've probably heard the show though. To be fair,
fair enough. Can't really knock them for that.
Yeah.
Brand toxic brand.
But it is right. It's a sign of caring, isn't it? If you really care about your event, you're going to jump on anything you can. To promote it. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
And it says a lot if people aren't doing that.
Yeah. And also, you know, all of these organisers, they are listening and they are aware. It's not like they're just putting on an event and not caring about, you know, feedback and stuff. They want the feedback. So then the next year, I mean, it's like comics themselves. The next one is always going to be the best one, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the way it should be.
And it's the kind of the weird thing about social media. If people kind of ask questions of something to those kind of people on social media and they're unanswered or ignored, that says something as well. By saying something, not saying anything, you are saying something. Do you know what I mean? By not making announcements and not doing anything, people kind of start getting jittery, especially now there's this expectation if you send a message to someone it should be answered within 30 seconds. That's not always the case.
By the way, if anyone's messaged us, whether it be an email or on the Twitter or anything, you're not going to get an answer in 30 seconds.
Damage control. But yeah, it's an interesting situation and kind of like I said, I've got a lot more forgiveness of the things and kind of it's run by individuals as opposed to big companies, apart from MCM. I presume
it's easier to stick the boot in, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's fun too.
I've not heard you complain about NCM. What are you on about? Not heard a single word.
Go back to the Tony has a meltdown in front of him.
But if anyone from MCM is listening and would like to be on the show, just let us know at awesomecomicspod@gmail.com.
Let us know by ringing again to jesterdiablo@hotmail.com.
That doesn't exist, people. That doesn't
I'll be making it like.
Oh, yeah, you always
there's, getting slightly personal a minute. There's someone I work with whose partner... has quite a high level position within Reed. I think it is the people who've brought them out.
You're right.
And the person who I work with, my relationship with that person is probably one of the worst working relationships I've ever had in my life. So that's great. What a great sort of a coincidence that is.
Yeah. Maybe that person is the person that you walk towards at MCM and they did that. They were dressed as one of the Darth Vader characters and they did that hand signal and you went, mate, just fuck off. Yeah. And just you don't know.
Yeah. Lock eyes with him shaking my head, walking past.
Oh, dear. Yes. So, anyway, back to the poll.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the winner overall with 57% was, overall, it's been pretty good. 2017 has been pretty good for conventions. In second place, with 20%, was okay. It's been better in other years.
Right.
In some ways, I kind of expected that one to be a little bit higher.
Yeah. Okay.
Hearing some of, like, you know, obviously off the record views of some of the shows we've been at.
I felt there was a mid year. I was feeling a little bit of con fatigue from other people. I was hearing a bit. I think probably post London.
Yeah.
I was hearing a little bit like, I'm not going to bother for a while now, you know.
After the John Locke and Sarah Millman episode, we did the talk about, was it MCM? We did
Comic Village, wasn't it? Yeah.
Very unhappy, and there was a lot of kind of ill will in the small press community, saying it was like they'd never done so badly at MCM, and it was really dead, and they hadn't made any money, etc. After hearing that, you're like, oh, fucking hell, that was a bit...
I think the one for me was when I went to Oxford, and it was just... £18 to get in or something, and I thought,
that's ridiculous.
Why am I paying money to get into this mess of just like drinking horns and Japanese food for sale? And I thought, really, you know. And I think that's when I finally thought, I'm spending my Saturdays doing this, you know.
Yeah.
I know what to get you for Christmas,
Sorry?
I know what to get you for Christmas.
I kind of don't really know too much about the setup works, but I would have thought of keeping the entry fee to an absolute minimum and passing that money on to that cost onto vendors would be the kind of way to go.
So, I think they do both, though. That's the thing, don't they? They charge you silly fees and charge the vendors silly fees as well.
You're right, mate. I think you are. Yeah, I know Simon Russell said on the Facebook group we were talking about this, and he said he thinks the library type event, or the, you know, partly funded by the local council type event, or the arts council type thing, are the way forward. I make him right. I would also add into that mix stuff like Swindon Small Press Day. I think that was a fucking resounding success. Sarah ran that, and she was also telling us yesterday about she ran an event or helped run an event on Halloween. And she said there was more people in the shop than the small press event. And I think almost like we've got to go back to our roots again. We've got to go back to that comic shop community thing again, maybe.
Because I sold to people yesterday that would not have been in a Comic Con.
Yeah.
No way. Mm. They would have gone to like that kind of specialist event.
Yeah.
There was one chap I spoke to, and spoke to him about 5 minutes, and then he bought volume two of the book. And I was like, oh, what about volume one? And he's like, oh, that's all right. And I was like, okay.
Was that the Italian guy?
Yeah, the Italian chap. He was lovely.
I chatted to him, super nice guy, and he was chatting to me about Dylan Dog and all this sort of thing, and he just popped into the library.
Popped into the library, and he bought books off of Ben and Luke sitting next to me. He bought a
Jampies poster as well.
Yeah, Jampies poster. I said to him,
like it, you know,
give me a shout and I'll send you the digital version so you can kind of get up to speed. And it was real nice bloke. He kind of had a genuine interest in comics and cartooning, and just kind of stumbled across this thing, and then bought some comics up. So it was fantastic.
That's the best. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
Because a couple of creators I spoke to, I won't name names because I know it's a bit kind of talk about sales, but they were like, well, they aim to sell like 30 or 40 issues in that day, and then they'd made that target.
Yeah, both people I spoke to similarly had sold loads, you know. And one of them actually said, I'd sold this many. I went, how many? I thought, bloody hell, that's good.
So much like those people, 16% of the poll said everyone has been great. So there's been a few people that have had a very good year in terms of visiting or exhibiting. So with only 6% saying it's not been good.
Okay.
Did anyone say what was their issue with why it hadn't been good?
We didn't so much hear anyone putting the boot in. I think that's the beauty of a poll, isn't it? They can be fairly
anonymous.
Cakes with Faces at Cakes with Faces, which is immediately my favourite Twitter handle, said, I lost my voice, which made it interesting as an exhibitor.
What did they do?
Cakes with Faces.
Don't say cakes.
Looking at their Twitter, they do cute and colourful T-shirts, clothing and gifts inspired by Japan. 100% original designs, and they follow us on Twitter.
Oh, so, they can't be all bad then.
Yeah, nah. They got good taste.
All bad taste. Yeah. Have you dipped your toe in creating anything in? Do you do writing or art or anything like that?
I'll be honest, I'm absolutely useless. No, I don't do anything. But Nikki, who hosts a podcast with me, she does draw. She does sort of, she's got a little business. Well, it's not a business. She'll do drawings for people, essentially. Okay. Considering trying to do a comic, but we'll see down the line how it goes. So
will you help with that, do you think? Or
I'd like to think so, but let's be honest, no. I'll just get in the way. I'll just get in the bloody way. I'm useless.
You could be an amazing like proofreader or editor.
That's very true.
Yeah, or booth babe.
I think just going to the festival itself, you see the work that people are putting in, it does give you that creative juice to want to try something.
Mm. Yeah, it really does. Yeah, I agree completely, mate. Yeah.
And then it passes. Over 6 months, we'll have forgotten about it probably. But then come next year again, it'll be like, boom.
Yeah.
So.
One thing, I spoke to a couple of people yesterday who had designs on making comics. There's actually one chap from Tally Bertram's, the Staffordshire, is it?
course. Staff at the university, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She popped down, and there was another chat later in the day. I really forgive myself.
He joined the Facebook group, and I can't remember his name. I apologise, but yeah.
But he's I followed him on the Instagram, and he's fantastic. He's got a comic ready to go. There's like 4 or 5 pages left to colour, and he's got lettering, and it's ready to go. He was asking...
Oh, not the guy... I can't remember his name. He hung about... He had like a black coat on and a bit of a dark hair and a beard.
Yeah.
And then he did the monster comic about Sasquatch.
That's the one. Yeah.
That was great. His stuff was mad good. Yeah.
Because it's about monsters punching people in half, and someone said, you've got to go speak to Dan, who does Vanguard.
I've already bought that issue, based on the way you described it.
It's sort of, if Headlopper was monsters. It's like that.
Oh, God. That it sells itself.
Yeah. I apologise. Yeah. I can't remember. I had it written down in a bit of paper, and I can't remember where I put down with the paper from the day. But it's a super nice guy. Please write in. We'd love to see. He's going to keep us updated, isn't he, with his comic?
Cause, yes.
It's due for release any time now. And he sat with us for quite a while, didn't he? He was good. Yeah. Good lad. Yeah. Really nice guy. Yeah.
So, Ian, like when you've been at like the lakes and stuff, what have been some of your highlights in terms of discovering things that you never knew about? Because when I go to shows. Obviously, I've got this little checklist of stuff I want to check out, you know, that I've researched before the con, and I want to pick up. But it's always those little ones that you know nothing about that are some of the best surprises.
I think, to be honest, I didn't really see, because I was too busy working at the festival this year as far as recording, but doing the podcast itself has brought so much to my attention.
Yeah.
Stuff that, you know, you'd never consider reading, for example, Paula Knight, Facts of Life, was an amazing piece of work about her problems having a child. Now, if I looked at that in a bookshop, as a hot red blooded man that I am, I would, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That sort of book I would just ignore. Mm. Yeah. But because it's been sent for us to review and have a look at, I'm sort of forced to read it. And because of that, the amount of works that I've read that have just fascinated me that I'd never think of reading, that's what's drawn me into the world.
We feel exactly the same. We often, you said it last week, Vince, didn't you? I think you said, look, there's stuff that you'd never have dreamed of reading. And, you know, it's just sort of, we just see the variety of it here more, I think.
Mm. Yeah. And it's because, like, every single one of us on this show now, we've put ourselves in this position where we have to open like our eyes and our minds to stuff that we wouldn't normally check out.
Yeah.
And we say every week that, you know, that's probably the best thing for listeners to do is never close your eyes to necessarily anything that you see at a convention.
Mm. Yeah.
I think, certainly for when you walk in a convention and you see people sat there behind a desk doing nothing and you just want to shout and say, get your work shown to people, you know, get them looking at it because they're not going to look otherwise, especially if your book is a bit obscure or a bit odd.
Yeah.
Pick that book up.
I think you said that on one of your shows I was listening to today. You said, look, people need to stand up. And I think you might, I know you referenced another podcast, presumably that was maybe us about, because we're always banging on at people. You need to stand up.
Engage
with people, I think.
It's just seeing at the festival this year, the people who we went to interview were the people who were stood up there and talking to people. You know, it's like, well, they look interesting. They've got something to say. Let's go and talk to them. Yeah, and it's the same about buying books and reading the books. If you've got to be able to feel you can talk to these people.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a definite body language issue with some people, you know, sitting there with their arms crossed on, you know, with it, looking down at their phones.
Quite like that thing they had yesterday, they had circular tables. And if you had them dotted for a room and, like, two exhibitors and they had, like, back-to-back and the comics and stuff was spread out from the middle and people just wander around and there's no kind of them and us formal thing of...
Mm-hmm. That's true, actually. Yeah, very
talk,
true.
Got to talk over the table and it's like, oh, they're selling me something. And rather you just have it like that and then you can sort of swoop in and ambush them. But, like, it creates a bit more of a kind of... and not such a formal environment of sort of.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I thought it was a perfect layout yesterday. I really liked it. I thought it wasn't a big room, but it was you could probably fit another 5-6 tables in there at least, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think next time definitely it'll be rather than sitting behind a table, standing behind a table, get around the front and start talking to people and get involved. And
there is we're saying that, and I'd agree completely with you, mate. I've seen a bit of grumbling online recently about people who are out in front of their table but they have helpers and they doorstep people who are standing in front of other tables. Does that make sense to you? Like, there's like that. There's the hard sell. Not naming anyone. It's something we've certainly discussed. There's a couple of crews out there who will just walk up to people standing looking at another table and say, you know, have you thought about this book? You know,
have they? Yeah. What, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
There's a creative group I'm a part of on Facebook, and there was an email from a con that ran up north or in Scotland, and basically there was a slanging match between a couple of tables where one table had done that to another. No names were mentioned. I'll just text
you the name, actually, Vince.
Yeah. That's weird, because that's exactly the name I thought it would be, and it's exactly the name it was.
Yeah.
There's a few names flying back and forth, and it's horrible, because like, it's kind of like with a small little community and kind of small creators, and it's this out of order.
I've just got the name come up, and that's the only company I know who's done the hard sell. So yeah.
Okay. There you go. I'll just send that through to you as well, Ian.
I think there is a lot of our listeners who probably know exactly who we're talking about.
I think you've got to be polite. You know, I don't respond well to a hard sell. I've got to tell you, it puts my back. You know, I respond to someone who's friendly and engaging, but I don't respond. You know, someone at some point in the past has said, always put a book in someone's hand and they're more likely to buy it. There's some kind of hard sell, always be closing kind of book somewhere out there, isn't there? That says if you put the book in someone's hand, they find it more uncomfortable to give it back to you. And I find that a terrible sort of thing to do. You're painful. And I've had it myself.
Have you ever had, and this is something I've done a couple of times, but have you ever been to a table and bought a book from someone and they've recommended another person in the convention to go to? Like, you know, if you like that, you should definitely check out this person.
I've done that. Yeah, I did it yesterday. I sent someone over to Matt Garvey's table. And they bought his book. So
did you get a commission?
I love that. Of Garvey, you're joking. No, I love Garvey. I love him. But
I've sent people over to the breakfast lot. I've done it a lot online to people, saying if you like that, you should go and check out X, Y, and Z. One of the sales techniques that Matt Garvey is a salesperson in his job, I think, as full time kind of something, and he'd done something great. He had the comics like open on good pages that he could use to sell. And then when someone would come up and said, like, read that panel. If you like that panel, you're going to love the rest of the
stuff. Yeah, Leighton does that as well. John does that, and he's a bit of a master of it. Yeah.
Got sales from that. I mean, and you're engaging the right way. You've got the person in, they're reading your comic, and then that appeals to them, and bang. Rather than this whole business of sticking fucking shit in your hand.
Yeah. What about you, Ian? I know, because it's quite a sort of arty festival, isn't it? I suppose. I would love to go. I still haven't been, but the Lakes is less sort of hard sell, isn't it? I suppose. Yeah.
Oh gosh, yeah. No, you still have the same creators. Like, I recognise a lot of names. You sort of say there's still those creators there.
Yeah.
But I think just the way it's laid out and the people that are looking around, a hard sell just wouldn't work.
That's for people who haven't been there, and it's because it's based on the Onglen model. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah. So the whole town is taken over.
Yeah.
Essentially, which is what makes it so special to compared to not many places can do it in the UK, to be honest. And because of that, you've got different locations throughout the town.
You wouldn't want it, to be fair.
Well, yeah.
have you been to Stevenage? Sorry, go on, mate. Sorry.
It's all right. But yeah, so you've got an area, say, where you've got like the marketplace and all the stalls there. You've got an area where they're doing the talks and the shows. You've got an area where you've got, in this particular year, it was the Canadians took over the building. And you've got exhibitions around the place as well. It's wonderful.
And then at night you have gigs. I know Blues Harvest played this year, didn't they?
They had Blues Harvest and Pop Noir, the Garys. Okay. Oh, Blues Harvest were awesome.
So good, aren't they? Yeah.
I was rocking.
Yeah, we're also mates. We're mates of Nick's, as I know you are.
Yeah,
Nick.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, just seeing stuff by them is great fun. Yeah. I wish they'd play down here. I can't wait for them to play London. Yeah.
You did talk about an event. Was it Sergio Gomez, the Groove chap? And you do like a kind of, is it like a Pictionary kind of thing?
Essentially, it was him, and then they got other people joining him throughout the evening. And just pop up a name, something, and they draw it away. It was amazing.
Sergio's brilliant, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think that Nick Prolix is one day going to turn into Sergio.
Yeah.
That sort of debonair facial hair. Yeah, yeah. I think, I keep saying to Nick, you're going to be him one day. Nick.
It's going to be for me the motorcycle comics, where he goes around sort of. I said Nick looks like reminds me of Che Guevara of going around on a motorbike making comics.
I think he'd like that. I think that's cool. Yeah. He texted me this week. He's been watching Shine on Harvey Moon, just to get into it. He says.
Honestly, like, look at his comics, and it's the draftsmanship, which is fantastic. It's so old school. Gorgeous.
Yeah.
And it's that kind of... One of the good things about comics to me is, like, you don't really have to know much about it, but when you come across stuff that is good, the quality has shined through, and the workmanship and the draftsmanship. Yeah. And that's certainly what you get with Nick's stuff.
Class act, yeah. And Sergio's got that, as well as Nick. He's got that sort of humorous edge to it as well. His style is so sort of individual, isn't it?
He's got a cheeky smile whenever he's doing it as well. That's the thing. He knows what he's doing. He's amazing, to be honest.
Was Stan Sakai there this year as well?
He was, yes. I didn't see anything to do with his work. But yeah.
Yeah, we've
got to meet that guy.
Sorry.
Yeah. He's a hero.
Yeah. How many shows does he do in the UK?
Very rarely, I think, doesn't he? Yeah. Hmm. But that's the good thing about the Lakes to me, is you get those names you don't... Because you got Darwin Cook before he passed, didn't you? You get some interesting names. Was there anyone else of note that you've met when you've been there?
To be fair, you know what? This is going to sound awful. This was my first full festival.
Right, okay.
I've had to work for all the others, essentially. Right. So I've never actually managed to get to a full festival. So this is actually my first, crazy as it sounds.
Yeah,
it does go on for... A number of days, doesn't it?
It's Friday night, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, okay.
And don't they have things on the lead up? They have sort of a walk of art. You can walk around and see art in windows and stuff. Is that right? Or
that all the town again? It's included with the takeover. Yeah, they have artists doing some windows, but they also have schools and so forth, and they take over business windows.
That's brilliant.
Whatever theme they want, and then the little competition who's the best.
And you can do a little walk. There's like a guide, not a guided tour, but there's a map you can walk. I know John Freeman was telling me about that. Yeah, he's very into that. I think that's great.
It's just
good
to
get the kids involved.
Yeah. No, it really does. But you also do things that they'll get other artists up, in particular like the Everington Brothers, get them to schools doing things as well.
Oh, that's
so
great.
It really brings in the community.
We'll get them on the show soon, actually. I did a panel with them at Cardiff, and they were great, really interesting. Yeah.
Oh, they're amazing. We've got them booked in for December for us. And we're going to see... To be fair, we sort of picked what panels we were going to see, and I didn't really want to go and see the Everington Brothers, but because we've got a couple of kids with us, we thought, well, let's give it a shot. It was the best panel of the weekend.
Right.
They were amazing. They're so funny.
Vince, you're a big fan, aren't you, as well?
Yeah. Their work, for me, is the most reminiscent of all the lovely stuff we see coming out of Europe. It's astonishing the output that they have and the consistency and quality. And, you know, aside from that, they do these great little tutorials. Have you seen these on Twitter?
Yeah, no, they're good.
I love
them. How to draw smoke and all that stuff.
How to draw cars.
He's up at 5 o'clock in the morning doing them just because he wants to get them out. Don't get a penny or anything for it. He just enjoys doing them.
Yeah.
Good.
And that's what it's all about, isn't it? I think, you know, they've got a growing following, and they've earned every single one of those people.
God,
them. You know.
So how did you come to be, because you're basically doing a podcast that is based around, I know it's not just based around, but in name only, if you just looked at the name, you think, oh, that's the Lakes podcast. So how did that come about, Ian?
I've known the director, Julie Tate, for a number of years. When he first set the festival up, I was working for Game. And I was involved in helping publicise the initial festival around the town.
Okay.
Moved away from the area, came back, and we were doing a podcast, me and Nikki, called House of Geek, which we've now closed. Rest in peace, House of Geek. and we just went to the festival. It was the year before, and we did a review on it, and we enjoyed it so much. We thought, right, let's push ourselves forward. Why don't we do a podcast for the festival? It was simple as that. And meeting went. Did it in done simple as that, and it really enjoy doing it, to be honest.
Cool.
The original podcast we did, the House of Geek, was based on board games, and you found the industry quite closed off.
Okay.
Coming into this industry, everybody is so helpful. Everybody's so friendly. Everybody's so open with the work. You know, you're asking for copies. Look, can we review your books? They throw it at you, and it makes podcasting a joy, and it makes it so easy. And interviews as well. And I'm sure you have no issues at all. You just speak to somebody, and they'll happily jump on your show.
Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of people as well. Certainly, they're always slightly nervous before talking, and we always sort of say, "Look, it's just really casual." My view is, as soon as you get someone talking about what they're passionate about, mm-hmm. You can just take the seatbelt off and just let them go. And when they start talking about the comics that they're making and like the movies that they love watching or their influences and stuff, all of a sudden you've got a 2-hour show without realizing.
We tend to go about just over 2 hours regularly, don't we? And it just flies by
on the show
you get
anyway.
Someone talking. usually just a couple of minutes otherwise, but
But it's just amazing. You can get, like you say, you can get small press, but you can get big names as well. They'll all happily come and talk about the work. It's absolutely brilliant.
And doesn't that sort of it blows my mind that I've talked to some of the people that I've talked to, like even if it's just general chit-chat, just at a convention, not necessarily on this show, but just in general. I'm not going to do a brag and list off a bunch of names now, but I've had a chance to talk to some amazing creators that 5-10 years ago I never, it would have been, God, just imagine meeting that person, and I've actually had a conversation with them. It's amazing, this podcast game.
But you got to think, these creators, and you know far better than me, they're just sat behind a screen or a pad all day, aren't they? So the chance to chat to somebody. Chance for a bit of life.
And like you say, as soon as people have they've got a book to talk about or a book they want to sort of pimp out, they're more than happy to talk about. But you got to be careful with that as well, because sometimes we get inundated, especially on the Facebook group, with some salesy stuff that we need to.
On the very odd occasion we've been bitten, where we've interacted with someone, possibly not saying got them on the show, and then we've never heard from them again, have we?
Yeah.
You know?
Or, I mean, you certainly get this a lot with the online interaction. We're more than happy to pimp out sort of people and stuff, but sometimes we get these sort of salesy pitches, and we do wonder, have you actually listened to our show?
Yeah, we get the odd email that says, do you review books?
Yeah.
You know, do you do small press?
Yeah. You guys are the same. We genuinely care about our listeners, because our listeners go out and they check out these books and they buy these books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. So
I think that's been the hard part, because we do reviews on the show. Deciding what we were going to do in regards to reviewing, because you can get so negative if you want to, some work. And I think we decided from day one we were just going to be purely positive. If we don't like a book, like a book, it ain't going on the show.
If you find a tiny fault with a book, I think that's fine. But if you read something, you think, for God's sake, no, there's no way I can review that. And I've lined up a couple that I tend to write my little notes out for the recommend on the Saturday, and I thought, oh no, I can't do that one, and I had to scrabble find another one, you know.
Do you think there is a place for those kind of negative reviews? You read something and then you'd say, right, it's not working, this.
Well, we did one recently, didn't we? Was it Vixens from Outer Space? You had a poster, didn't it?
Yeah,
like the fact you had a poster
in a really weird part of the comic.
There's got to be the room there. I mean, you look at movie reviews constantly. There's so many negative reviews for films and so forth, and people will listen to it. The problem is, if you're going to be doing that, you are not going to get support from anybody, and you're going to be buying every single book, and everything you're going to have to do is going to revolve around cost. So it's not worth it.
So we talked about a bit on a previous show about this. If you're going to, for example, if you get on the list for 2000 AD, for example, and you slag off every single comic they bring out, it's not in their interest to have you on their free list anymore.
And the community's so small that, I mean, let's face it, there's loads of podcasts everywhere, but this is a small community that we're in. And like, especially when you're talking about independence, you're a niche within a niche within a niche. That really, I think negativity almost has absolutely no place, because you burn a bridge here, and especially in the online world where we are at the moment, that could be it. you will be publicly shown to be an absolute bastard. Whereas all our listeners know that we are actually absolute bastards.
Total bastards, yeah.
There is a website called, I think it's Webcomic Police, and they do honest kind of reviews, in as much that if they review a comic and they don't think it's good, they will point out all the faults, but they're not, it's not that kind of nastiness, it's like generally
if it's constructive, if there's constructive criticism.
Exactly, that's, we've talked about this before, haven't we? Yeah. And I think we know that we've had emails back from people thanking us for pointing stuff out. I've personally had it,
Yeah.
I mean, I think the worst one's that bad webcomic wiki. I don't know if you've ever been on
that.
No,
I've not seen that, no.
It's seemed to be comprised of a site of people trying to find the worst webcomics they can and just being as abusive as they can. Yeah, being as abusive as they can about it. I mean, if you're going to do it about a multi-million-dollar movie and they're getting their fucking millions, whatever, but when it's an individual pumping out a webcomic, I feel like you're kind of punching down, which... Yeah. Ordinary's great punching down, but it just seems a bit mean.
It's just negativity is just absolutely tiring as well, isn't it? I mean, that's the reason that we've had social media breaks, or sometimes we just step away from things. It's like,
I've done a bit of that recently.
I can't do it anymore.
Well, your show's a little bit that you have segments, don't you?
We do. Yeah, we wanted to do something a bit different. We've got a couple of guys. Mike Williams, who's just a complete nerd from Kendall. he's a nerd from Kendall. He just loves his books, so he'll talk 5 minutes about something that involves him. But we also have Pete Taylor, who's an artist. He's been in the Phoenix, I think? No, it might have been the Phoenix.
Okay.
Anyway, he's been in one of the comics, and he does a lot of conventions himself. He's part of the Swansea Comics Collective, so he talks a bit more about the industry and his side of things, which is really interesting. It just brings something different to the show. And he also does logos for us, makes my life easy.
Do people go to you, though? Do they come to you and go, well, that's the convention over, what are you going to do for the rest of the year? You've got like 10 months to fill up now, haven't you?
Well,
in a way, it's not really been based around the festival.
Older episodes, yeah.
Yeah, we have a small part where we'll talk about the festival, but every episode is based around an interview. That is the whole process. Now, we're very different to you guys. You're more topic-based, so you'll talk about a topic with your subject, or we go informal interview process, which is why we work really well together. So download both podcasts.
Do you... Now, yours is... You don't want me to say it's with your partner, isn't it?
That's it, Nikki. Yeah. We both do it together.
Is that how does that work?
I'm the boss.
Nikki,
you can tell she's not sat next to me. You can email us. Awesome.
Oh, she can hear me. She just shouted. I'm in the shit. in fact, shall I get the joke in now?
Yeah,
she's currently sat there stroking a pussy.
Good man. Finally, back to the Carry On vibe.
She's feeding a pussy right now. Let's stop. Where was I? What was I talking about?
How easy is it to do it with your partner? I suppose is where I was going with that.
We would say we did it for a couple of years on this other podcast. And she's just a complete nerd herself. So, I mean, we don't always agree on the books, because we always try and read the same books so we can review them together. And sometimes we have to sort of come to a middle ground of where we're going to go in regards to reviewing and discussing a book. But it's good fun.
Yeah,
it really is. It's overall, it's just good fun. I think it's great to have a relationship where you can talk about comics together, you know.
Wow. Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, I think because for us, it's kind of normally, I suppose every other week we might see each other at a convention or something, but the only way we normally get together is just by chatting on here. So we tend to spend about half an hour just talking about comics even before we press record. Yeah. And we're just sort of excited to talk to each other about them, you know. But I suppose
some
if you're
more excited than others.
Yeah. Well, I suppose if your good lady is reading comics with you, you must kind of, it must be almost planned out before you press record, is it? Or
I do all the planning. About that? Like I say, I do all the work. It flows very easily, to be honest. But yeah, no, I'll be honest, it is, and I'm saying this because she can't get to me. I
can already predict that next week I will be saying a message saying, if you've seen Ian Loxham, please get in touch with us.
But no, it's great just working together.
Yeah. Okay.
What did my wife say to the comment on that video of me walking around the con?
Prat.
Tony? Yeah,
just prat. Just said prat. She didn't even write it to you. She wrote it to me.
Yeah. She knew it'd get back to me through the channels.
Still the best video ever.
Yeah. I'm still thinking about it.
Somebody wrote in and said this needs to be a regular feature. I think it's Pete Davis, wasn't it? He wrote
I don't know how it's going to work in an audio format. Or do you think? Yeah.
Let's film it.
We should do it in audio, and then and from one side of the convention to the other. And,
that's the second time just... you've done it, and it's still funny.
And it's just
it's set of recorder at MCM, and then like 20 minutes feed, and just like nothing happening. And then you just walk back into shot.
I remember watching one of the Bleeding Cool ones, and it was, you know, where the start, you know, if you go to the video, you get like a little, obviously, moment from it almost, and it was just a picture of a dustbin. And someone had, why is there a picture of a dustbin on this video? It just made me laugh.
I did look at one of them LSCC, and I tried to do a thumbs up at the camera when he came around, but I missed it.
Okay, yeah.
I looked absolutely gormless from what you said.
Yeah. It was Cameron Everlys.
Oh, you!
So, Ian, are you thinking of branching out into video for the Lakes on the Gart Festival podcast?
We've tried that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
God, editing video is a pain in the ass. No, we have set up a YouTube channel. We tried to sort of do something, but it just takes so long.
Right, okay.
So, no. It's a simple answer.
It is, there's only so many fucking hours in the day to get all this done.
Yeah.
That's it. And it's you can do it, but you don't make money on it in YouTube anymore. So all that work is for nothing, really.
Yeah.
Whereas as podcasting, it's so easy to do. It doesn't matter that you're not making, you know, you're doing it for the fun of it. And that's a big thing, you know. Although we're linked to the International Comic Arts Festival, they don't pay us a penny.
you get a free entrance, I suppose.
We get a free entrance, and that's enough, because it's such good fun. And I think that's something, and I don't know how other festivals do this, what is so vital to all of the comic shows out there is the volunteers.
Yeah. Right, God,
A lot of these bring in, they won't be able to run without the volunteers. So it's things like we're doing, but it's also the people on the day that are just stood there selling tickets or walking around helping a guest. It's vital. Volunteer for your local show.
Do you have anyone who is rumoured for next year at all? Do we know?
I can't say a word.
Okay. As I spoke, to Bill Sinkovich in New York, and he was talking about possibly doing a UK show. Mm-hmm. And I thought he's got to be right up your street this year.
There's a couple of names floating around, but stump.
Yeah, okay.
Because it's not fully definite. But if there's
one particular... Is it Andrew Lee Potts from Primeval?
Oh, don't. Nicky's got a crush on him. Don't say that.
Well,
don't
if you get him along, I understand you get Hannah Spirit half price.
We went to the MCM Liverpool this year, and he That's sat there. Nobody was going to I'm like, who is he?
That was one of the saddest things I've seen all year, when I went to that one near me and it had that chap from Empire Strikes Back, and there was no one going up to him. And it's like, oh, poor guy, just fucking call it a day, man.
Yeah,
is that going to be the same with a Primeval bloke like 20 years down the line, sitting in some leisure centre hall and no one going up to him?
Panto in Bridlington or something, you know, it's like
so the kid turning to their mum, what's Primeval?
Oh, dear. Anyway, we got a couple of questions.
Oh.
Yeah, this would be interesting. We've got a couple of questions that I think be interesting to see what people say about this. Now, our mate Alan Henderson at Shadow 1972. The Penguins, which we highly recommend. Which is also on Comic House, comichouse.com.
Hey.
At a Comic-Con panel or Q&A, what are the best, worst, or most obscure questions you've heard asked?
Oh, God, I've had a few of these.
I bet you have.
I've helped on a convention panel once before where, you know, you run around the back and pass the microphone over, and the person running the panel asked the longest question I've ever heard. And I think often long questions are only asked to prove the intelligence of the person asking the question sometimes. Yeah. There's that famous John Carpenter interview. Have you seen that one? I think Jay Gunn posted it recently, where the bloke just asking this question, it goes on forever. And the bloke who's answering it just went, no, right at the end of it. And I'm like, oh, God. Yeah.
There was the 2000 AD event. There was some guy who asked Pat Mills a question, and that fucking went on forever.
Oh, there was, just, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Look, yeah. Look, Tony was hosting the whole panel, Dan. Yeah. That's not very nice.
I had other questions. I think that's the one, because we put aside 15 minutes to audience questions. I think it's always good. So we did that, and we went to the audience, and everyone asked like a really good question, like, what you're reading at the moment, you know, like bright and cheery ones. He did mention furries, which is when I pointed at Vince. And then someone said, thank you. And then when someone said, when you were researching this page from issue such and such of this book, you know, what reference were you using? Because I understand that this wasn't the correct reference. This was this. And I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. Yeah. You know, and I look at Pat, and Pat obviously is a gent, so he gives this sort of, you know, sensible answer. And so I had to go, because that would have been the last question of the panel for the audience.
Oh, yeah, we couldn't have done that.
Yeah. So I had to go to another one. And the lady at the back stood up and said, what book are you reading at the moment? And he went, I'm reading Alan Partridge. And everyone went, yes.
I can't think of any example myself, but I've got to say 2000 AD geeks, they asked the most ridiculous questions.
Really?
And you can see the artist sat at the front thinking, I have no idea what you're on about. Yeah. I can't remember what I drew 20 years ago, you know. And you just feel so sorry for them sometimes.
Yeah. Stop. And 2000 AD was just a river of Guinness back then, wasn't it?
I want to go there, River of Guinness. Jesus. Yeah.
That's what gets me about fandom, though, doesn't it? I mean, it crosses to the TV, like the Star Trek and stuff.
Well, I'm just about to use Doctor Who as a reference there, dude. Exactly.
It's their job, isn't it? I mean, they're not reading bibliographies of like the history of a certain universe that their character's supposed to have come from. And yet,
all they remember is I was smoking outside the trailer, you know, in Cardiff. Bogs or somewhere, and then someone called me into the studio. I ran down a corridor and I went and stood outside again. And that's kind of their job, isn't it? You know. I know isn't there someone asked John Pertwee, when the doors opened from the TARDIS on Metabolus 3, what did you think? And he went, what are you fucking talking about?
I hope he said it in that voice.
He maybe said it in his Worlds of Gummidge voice.
Yeah.
Aunt Sally, cup of tea and slap cake. Yes, that is the first and only Wurzel Gummidge impression you'll hear on this show.
Probably not the last.
Go on then, Dan.
Oh, I can't fucking do it.
I mean, there's loads. I think you get the people who just don't want to be on the panel sometimes. I know we had that at Nottingham a good few years ago, and we're like, fuck's sake, really? Don't come on a panel, you know.
Mm. And I mean, you asked ahead of time.
Yeah.
So you can say them when I do it. It's fine.
And one bloke just kept holding his book up and showing it to the audience when it wasn't even being asked a question on one panel I ran. So I almost said to him, mate, put your book down.
Fuck me.
What are you doing?
If there's anything that's going to turn people off buying that is fucking you holding it up in the middle there.
Yeah.
That's awful. Not good behaviour.
Yeah. But you had, I know Chris Thompson did some panels this year, didn't he, Ian?
He did, yeah. Chris is brilliant.
He's a good lad, actually. Chris, for anyone, yeah. He's
brilliant,
nice guy.
Yeah. So, he seems to get the best out of any panel he's hosting, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
Unlike us.
Yeah. we're getting better. Don't be like that.
Yeah, we are getting better.
From the time you looked at me and went, I feel like we're in a car and it's on fire. I think...
What's that question you asked Vince? Was it a 2000 AD related one?
I got him because someone dropped out and we had a 2000 AD panel. I said, come on, Vince, you do it. And he went, okay. And I went, what's your favourite character? He went, I quite like Rogue Trooper.
I must admit, I can't imagine doing a panel. I don't think I'd be able to handle it.
Yeah. Dude.
What you mean hosting a panel?
Hosting a panel, yeah. No.
You're literally pretending to listen and thinking about the next question.
Yeah.
But you can't ask a question that's like, nothing to do with what they've just said, because it's unusual. It feels uncomfortable. So you're actually kind of trying to half listen and lead off in a segue to the next person on the panel. But if they give you a really short answer, you're like, fuck. So you've almost got to have four questions ready in your back pocket to bring out. It's a weird dynamic. I wrote a mailer on it recently and got some nice replies, and it's strange, because a lot of people who are comic, like we've said before, are comic creators. All they do is sit at their drawing board or their typewriter just shouting at, you know, loose women or something, you know.
That's the real...
Yeah. We will talk about TV series here, aren't we?
Yeah.
I'm not sure, to be fair. But yeah.
Slut shaming.
Yes. So it's sort of... some of them aren't used to it. You know, we've had a couple of people who are just like not used to talking in public, and I understand that. I dig that. You know what I mean? And I try and make them friendly.
And whenever we've done like sort of an awesome pod panel, I always treat it as like an extension of the show. So it's more like a chat. So and for instance, I'm asking questions and Tony's on the other side of the table trying to recover from the flight. Do you remember that, Tony?
Yeah, I can't really remember any of that panel, because I was I just come over an overnight flight and hadn't slept, and all I can remember is just making faces at you.
Yeah.
Another member of the panel was, I'm going to say, a little bit drunk, which I was finding hilarious.
Yeah. But the audio came out really well.
It did. Yeah, I'm vaguely normal. All I do is like looking at you, and you're doing that. Oh, what's going on? Look at me.
Like, what did he say? I feel like I'm in a car and it's on fire.
Yeah. So I think the other thing is people have agendas as well. People have agendas about their own book, like you said. They have agendas about what they think they need to say. They have agendas about being right sometimes. Yeah. You know, they have agenda. You know, and I think I've not been on a panel where two people have had an argument yet, but I'm quite looking forward to that. That should be good. Yeah. I just sort of stand back and drink coffee and watch. Yeah. I think that'll be good. Yeah.
It's like Fight Club.
Yeah.
Jeremy Kyle is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Just turn to camera and say nice.
Oh dear. Anyway, we got another question, this time from Simon Russell. He says, if you were to start an image type publishing company, what old time or out of favour creators would you invite to pitch?
Interesting.
Okay, that's interesting. Now
I'm hoping that's come from the Black Crown thing, where Pete Milligan has kind of come back into much more into the public view, and there's a couple of people on that, aren't there? I think there's loads of Doug Mensch, Marv Wolfman, Mike Zeck.
Yeah.
You know, there's loads of people out there who are very Tim Truman. Yeah. You know, like hugely creative and capable artists and writers, and they're just not getting used these days.
Yeah.
You know, is that through their choice, or I mean, why would you fall out of?
No, people fall in and out of favour a little bit, don't they? Mm-hmm. You know, I'd immediately go back to all those sort of P. Craig Russells, you know, the world, you know, all the people, Mike Grell, I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah.
I know there are a lot of these people, not saying particularly those guys, but there's a lot of these people who are looking for work.
Yeah.
You know, kickstart projects.
For instance, what about a lot of those 90s creators, artists, etc., that were involved in the huge boom that has seemingly disappeared? I mean, they obviously haven't disappeared. They're probably working as illustrators and
gaming and stuff
like that. What sort of place is there for, let's say, Rob Liefeld's company or Extreme Studios or whatever? There was definitely a house style these days, I would say, that unless you're Rob Liefeld, no one's going to buy what you're selling.
No.
Is there a place for those artists?
Yeah, I mean, the fashions come and go. I think there's a combination at the moment of the sort of very realistic compared to the sort of bordering on anime manga styles at the moment. Yeah. I think there's almost two avenues. You've got people like up and comers like Mac Chater and these people who are doing, you know, really realistic stuff. But you've also got the likes of Rachel Smith and people like that who are up and coming with that more cartoony style, I think.
And there's a lot more design artists, certainly. Okay. Mitch Gerards, for instance, he's one. Who was David Aja? Do you know what I mean? These are people that aren't doing your conventional comic page.
Mm. Yeah.
you know, that, yeah, that's more in vogue now than
I think Mitch, I know we're going to talk about it in a bit, I think Mitch has really leveled up.
Oh god.
Really, really leveled up. And I think he's taking some chances now that have like Martin Simmons, that are Sinkovic style chances at the moment. You know, really interesting style. And I love the fact that's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then again, I think Paul Gallacy, for example, he's capable of that. But where's Paul? You know, he did something for Dark Horse a couple of years ago. I've not seen him since.
Ian, what sort of artist or writer that you love would you like to see more work from, like someone you don't hear much about these days?
Oh, the problem is all the ones I'm enjoying, to be honest, are all you know, doing a lot of work. So
right.
I couldn't honestly think of one on top of my head, to be honest.
And a lot of them are like the big names necessary. I mean, you know, loads of people would just pull Alan Moore off the top of their head, wouldn't they? Because he doesn't do as much.
Yeah.
But that's because he, frankly, doesn't need or want to do as much these days.
Ron Wilson's another one I'd like to see come back. You can probably remember him from Marvel 2-in-1 and The Thing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he's got a great style. To
Jeff Darrow.
Yeah, he's got another. He's out at the moment. He's got the Shaolin Cowboys back out, I think, now, isn't he?
Oh, okay, nice.
But I think maybe it's because he takes so long to draw stuff.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Or Norm. Do you remember Norm Brayfogle?
Yeah.
You know, you don't really see him anymore, do you?
No.
Yeah, we'd like to be fascinated to find out what the kind of the story is behind these guys, these creators, why they've kind of decided to drop out. Perhaps they've just had their fill, or it doesn't pay, or whatever the reason is. You'd like to know. I feel like there's definitely, like, we harp on about the Wizard magazine, but if there was an equivalent, weren't they saying it was going to come back or something? But I'd like to see that kind
of... Yeah, they were, weren't they? Yeah.
Yeah, look at what creators from yesteryears are up to now, or...
Yeah, and there's some people who clearly can afford not to be busy. I'm thinking, like, the Dave Gibbons.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he sort of dips his toe... Yeah, McFarlane sort of dips his toe back in it occasionally.
But there's, I mean, I think with a lot of comic artists... they've sort of left the business. This will probably happen more than you actually think. They've left the business because they're earning a better living working in the concept art field or the storyboard field and stuff.
You know. I know that's definitely the case with Arthur Adams. He was kind of not getting the money. Well, you just get the better money elsewhere. And I fucking love his stuff, but you can't really blame him.
When you see a bit of Arthur Adams' work, it normally makes me want to weep.
Yeah, God.
Yeah. I'd love to see John Byrne on a Marvel book. Christ.
Mm.
Love to see him do the Avengers or something, you know.
Yeah. I think those days are gone.
I know, I know.
Those bridges are fucking burnt up and fallen into the river below.
Now,
but I mean, that just to the news that Bendis has moved.
Oh, I was just about to say, just to sign off this topic, how does everyone feel about the Bendis news? Obviously, for those who are listening who have been living under a rock with me, Brian Michael Bendis is now signed on to DC Comics. It's exclusive, isn't it? I think
he's left.
So he's packed his bags and left Marvel. And how long has he been at Marvel?
Long time.
17, 18 years, I'm going to take a guess at.
So initially, how do you feel about that news?
When I heard it, gut punch. Oh no, what's happening at Marvel? And then I thought, I really like Bendis. Having met him, I think he's one of the nicest people. I wish him well.
Yeah.
And then the three of us started messaging each other saying, right, what's he going to do? What's he going to do? And we were chatting about what we'd like to see him do. And then I saw a lot of nice responses on Twitter and Facebook from people at Marvel saying, good luck, mate. You know.
Yeah.
And I kind of settled a bit on it, but I was worried at the start. Yeah.
So you just got to think he's been working for the company for so long. You work in a job for so long, you want to make a change at some point. Yeah. He's sitting there looking at the characters Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. The shot of drawing them as well as drawing all the other characters, you know, why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
I know that he said, I saw him message Marv Wolfman to say he'd been reading loads of his DC back catalogue in preparation for the move. And I thought, is that a hint he's doing New Teen Titans? Or maybe Vigilante or something like that. I don't know. There's little hints coming out. He's doing a word balloon, actually. Sorry to interrupt you. I was talking to John Suntris on Twitter, the DMs this week, and I was saying to him, I'm really looking forward to the Bendis thing.
Yeah.
And he says he's coming on soon, and I've heard him say on the show as well, actually, he's coming on soon to talk about what he's going to do. And that'll be like, if anyone's listened to the Bendis tapes, they're like 7 hours long.
Yeah.
Really
worth it. They're always good.
Yeah.
And let's make no bones about it, he's made a lot of money for Marvel.
He has, yeah.
So
I mean, he pulled them through some difficult, not just him, let's face it, but he was certainly one of the reasons that they survived quite a bad period.
Yeah.
You know, with stuff like Ultimate Spider-Man, which is a genius run.
Mm-hmm.
So good. You know, yeah. So
it's
going
to be great
for kids.
He's a talented creator and he's got a whole new playground to get stuck into.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. Yeah, good stuff.
Has Jonathan Hickman gone over as well now? Is that right?
I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me.
Told me that yesterday, but I've not seen it.
I mean, John Hickman's got a lot of. He's making his cheddar with the Image books, so he can go to whatever big publisher he wants. I think, doesn't he? Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas Bendis has always been primarily like a big hitter. And whenever
those early Image days, he's been Marvel, isn't he?
And whenever, but even after then, like whenever you've seen one of his books like pop up at Image, I think there was a rare one that popped up at Image or something. Was it one he did with?
Wasn't that Icon? I'm not sure. I'll have to look, mate. Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah.
Yeah. There was that Genius one or whatever it's called. I can't remember what it's called now with Mark Bagley. The listeners are screaming at their iPods as we speak. But whenever he's done those bits, that's even if it's been popular, people want to see Bendis writing a big title, don't they? He's a big hitter.
Okay, ideally, all of us, you now have to say one book you'd like to see him write at DC, what would it be?
Ian, what would you like to see
him
write? I always jump with DC to any Batman, to be perfectly honest. It's just, yeah.
Okay.
Dan?
Pardon? I zoned out there for a second.
Which book do you want to see Bendis write at DC?
Oh, God. That's, I don't know. That's an interesting one. I'd like to, if you kind of like take a couple of characters and kind of really kind of pull them out of the status quo and change them up.
Yeah.
I think generally DC's doing quite well with their stuff at the moment. I would hate to cherry pick out something. And I'm just excited to see what he does.
Mm.
Okay.
I would say put him on Superman.
Okay.
That'd be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about you?
Not Legion, but the Legion with real docs and all that sort of, the one that do you know what I'm talking about? The not the future Legion of Superheroes, but Legion.
Yeah.
Yeah. With real docs and all that sort of thing.
The green dude with the blonde hair.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, he's a brainiac.
Here's an offshoot. Do you reckon they might put him with Green Lantern?
Yeah, I think Green Lantern could do with a shake-up.
He needs a shake-up, yeah.
And they could go full-on Guardians style with Legion, with Green Lantern, couldn't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to see him on Lobo, because I'd like Lobo done properly, and I kind of think he'd do it.
I've never liked Lobo. There you go.
No?
There's an admission for you.
Interesting, with the Justice League film just coming out, and... would they want him to kind of get involved in some of those properties and
move
some of those characters around?
He was a big player in the first wave of Marvel movies, wasn't he? I think it was an advisor and stuff. I think he might have stepped away from that now.
Yeah.
Or certainly over the last year.
Fuck me, if you put Bendis on a Batman title, it'd be like...
Yeah, you know, Gotham Central maybe, because he's done a bit of these procedural in Powers, isn't he? Maybe. Yeah.
Does he own Powers, the character?
Yes.
Like,
so he could take that with him.
Yeah,
as he does Scarlet and stuff like that. Yeah,
That was with Image for a long time, wasn't it? Powers, wasn't that Image?
Yes, it was. Yeah, was it? Or maybe? Yeah,
I think it was. Yeah,
then it was Icon, wasn't
it? Icon. Or,
yeah. I think it's a great comic series. That really good.
Yeah,
yeah.
So exciting times, and what an exciting chat we've had this week.
Yeah,
thank you very much for joining us, Ian.
No, thank you for having me.
Time flies when you're having fun. And I think the rest of you have had fun. But the show will go on. So do we have any shout-outs this week?
Anyone else? I've got one. Anyone else want to go first?
I would give a shout-out to the Lakes Comic Art podcast. I've recently started listening to it, and I've really enjoyed it.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah,
I've
the two hosts.
A couple of wankers, to be honest.
She's going to kill you for that. She says that, doesn't she?
You do a really good job on that. I don't listen to many podcasts, but I've really enjoyed it, and kind of like your enthusiasm for the subject really comes through. And
yeah. And I'm promising myself I will go next year. I really I hear really good things about it, and obviously I'm a friend of John Freeman's, and he's a part organizer, isn't he? I think.
Yeah, he does a lot of the media and stuff. But yes,
I'd love to. Yeah.
What are the dates for next year's show?
Oh, now you're asking me. Come on. You won. 12th to the 14th.
Oh, okay.
Essentially, yeah, tickets will be on sale. I don't know when. It'll be about March next year, I would have thought.
Okay.
Nice one.
Cool. So, yeah.
Brilliant.
So, Tony, you got a shout-out, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. I went to, on Wednesday night, I went to the Forbidden Planet to a signing for John Carpenter's Tales of Science Fiction, Vortex, issue 1 of 8. It's published by Storm King Books. It's written... it's drawn by our friend Dave Kennedy, put it that way. It's based on a story by John Carpenter and Sandy King, and it's written by Mike Sizemore, who I also met on the day. And Dave has, I was reading it today actually on the train. Dave and Mike have done a fucking astoundingly good job on it. It's basically a sort of ragtag team of space pilots, engineers, and explorers, and sort of roughhousers who go to explore an abandoned outpost in space. Just the sort of science fiction horror that I love, you know, that it's got Carpenter stamped on every page. I think everyone, I know we're all big fans of his, I think everyone here would.
And
the art is just astoundingly detailed and good and pacey. The writing's really good. And then I went with Dave, Jay Wilson came down, Jay Gunn, and we went to the pub afterwards. And it was one of those ones where we got to the pub about 7:30 and I said, look, I'm just having one. I've got to go. I haven't been home since Wednesday. You know, last week. And then I looked at my watch and it was 10:30. I'm like, oh, God. And I'm wondering. I didn't drink, but the guys are sort of wondering, having had a few drinks. And Dave's like, I don't even know how to get home from here. I'm staying in East London. I don't even know how to get home. So, yeah.
We haven't heard from him since, have we?
No. Yeah. If you've seen Dave Kennedy, please write in to justadiablo@hotmail.com. So, highly recommend it. So it's John Carpenter's Tales of Science Fiction, Vortex, is the series. It's an 8-issue miniseries. Gorgeous, gorgeous stuff. And if you like horror, if you like Carpenter, anything like that, highly recommended. That's my
Dave word. Is the fucking funniest bloke.
He is. Yeah. Hilarious.
Putting up photos of him and his young family going around London, and the comments he was putting were fucking brilliant. Really funny.
Yeah. I must meet up with him again. Yeah, very good company. Yeah. Cool.
Awesome. Right, okay, we're all about the comics, so let's talk about some comics. It's the recommendation section of the show, so who wants to go first?
Mine's actually a comic, so I won't go first.
maybe you should go first, Dan. You do your one first.
Yeah, go on.
I think I've been trying to push for this as an episode from the boys, a kind of a creative process. I've been getting into kind of the writing aspect of what we do, and I picked up a book that was recommended on a YouTube channel called Lessons in the Screenplay. I don't know if anyone else watches that.
No, I've not seen that.
It's fantastic. The guy basically takes the subject matter, one aspect of screenwriting, and then compares it and breaks it down from the screenplay and sees what kind of lessons essentially can be learned from it. And he mentioned this book called Creating Character Arcs, The Masterful Author's Guide to Uniting Story, Structure, Plot and Character Development. And that's by K.M. Weiland. It's an absolutely fantastic book. I'm only halfway through, but I kind of wanted to get more on top of writing character arcs and messing them in more with the story I'm writing. And essentially that's be held hand. I knew they kind of had to go hand in hand, and this book kind of gives you some pointers and some things you should look out for and some things you should avoid. Like a lot of these books, they don't tell you what you should be doing, but they sort of give you some general pointers. I find the books that say you must do X, Y, and Z don't really work for me generally, but kind of just a couple of things they bring out and say, look, keep your eye on this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I've certainly picked up and I've questioned a few things about why I'm writing. Like, why is she doing this then? And then I thought, oh, I've got the answer for that because that's in the story. I've already read that. I've already written that, and it feeds in. It just kind of reiterates some of the stuff I'm building up with the characters, and just to make sure I get that message across to the readers. So, I think I was hoping to kind of push for an episode of character creating and writing for us as a group to discuss. But this is a really good book to get you cracking on it. So,
awesome.
You get that. Nice.
We'll have to read that book and then do the episode. That's what we should do.
Yeah, good idea. Yeah, I'll get the details of you after the show. Get one then. Yeah.
Nice. And of course, it'll be in the show notes as well.
Cool.
There you go. So who wants to go next? Ian.
Yes.
I know
yes.
You've got a couple, haven't you?
Got a couple, actually, yeah. The one I want to talk about most is probably Breaks, a book by Emma Vicelli and Malin Raiden. Again, as I was talking earlier, we get so many books that I probably wouldn't pick up off the shelf. And this one has been stuck for a while. It's a webcomic that she published a while ago, Emma and Malin, on Emma's website. And it's an LGBT young adult love story. Okay. Now, that to me is not something I would ever consider reading. Mm-hmm. But it somehow drags you in. The art is gorgeous. It's very manga style. Ishema's work is always got that manga touch to it. Mm. And it's a simple relationship story of two young lads at school who don't realise they're gay. And then slowly but surely through scenes that happen that they fall in love with each other. And it is just, there's something about it that draws you into their story. And it is an amazing book to read. There's one particular scene that I don't know how to do. The emotion in just one image it brings a tear to your eye almost. It's amazing. So Breaks is well worth having a look at. And again, it's not something you'd possibly read as a male, but it's worth giving it a shot. Mm. Really, really is. The other one which I've read was an older book, Elabisms. Again, another webcomic by Mark Ellaby. It's simple diary comic that they put together over a couple of years. And again, something about it that it draws you in with the story of this relationship. God, I sound so pansy, don't I, talking about relationships? Jesus Christ.
There's always one point. Are available.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
There's always one point in the show that goes strangely deep and emotive. So go for it.
It's weird, isn't it? You know, I should be talking about Rogue Trooper, but no.
I like Rogue Trooper, I do.
It is just a diary comic, day by day. And I didn't realise how much I was enjoying it until the last paragraph, the last few scenes, when I actually started properly crying. Something about it just drags you in again. So there you go. Two very soft books for you to read. And I can't believe now I'm listening, thinking of what I've just said, what I sound like. I'm going to read what I said after this. That's what I'm going to do.
No, they sound great, though. Fantastic. Yeah. We haven't had them recommended before. Tony, do you want to go next?
Well, mine's got that little bit of audio. Did we want to do that? Do you think?
Well, no, I'll tell you what then. I'll go first. Cause
you go next, and then we can do that last
one. I'm not going to spend too long on this one. And I've gone off the reservation and picked a mainstream book here.
Yeah, I want to hear about this. Yeah.
Now, this is a DC book, which is even more off the reservation for me because, you know, normally I'm Marvel through and through. But this is a character that I've always been fascinated by. And issue 4 came out this week. And it's Mr. Miracle by Tom King and Mitch Gerards. Is that how you say it, Gerards?
I think so, yeah. I think that's right. So. Yeah.
Now, Mr. Miracle for me, I never read any of the early stuff. I know there's the Kirby history and everything. But for an outsider, that sort of history is quite daunting. It's quite scary, because it's so vast, so epic. And so cosmic that I wouldn't know where to begin. But his character I've always wanted to find out more about. And so this seemed like a perfect jumping on point. Now, before this, the only Mr. Miracle, I was always a fan of him because, A, I think he's got one of the best costumes in comics. I've always loved that costume.
Yeah.
And B, because he was quite a big part of the Bwahaha era of the
Justice League. Yeah, I was going to ask you, because I know that's a favourite of yours, isn't it?
Yeah, and he was a part of that Justice League International, and he was always hilarious in that. So I think that's what endeared me to him. So there was always this element that I thought that he was slightly funny, whereas maybe he isn't so much, you know. So this was a new take on it. And I don't want to say too much about it without spoiling it, but Mr. Miracle, at the moment, 4 issues out. Get these 4 issues and start from page 1, because like I say, I knew nothing about it. I could pick it up, I could follow it, and there's a mystery going on. And at the core of it for me is all about him. I've forgotten the name of the real name of the character now. What's Mr. Miracle?
Oh, is it Scott Free?
Scott Free, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah,
I can't believe that. I've got it in front of me. But the main two are obviously him and Big Barda. Big Barda has one of the best looks in comics, I think. She just looks bloody awesome. And this just totally
and scary.
Yeah, it backs up how awesome and badass she is. I mean, she's front and center on issue 4, and it's the total Kirby design of it as well. This is something I've
because they stayed with the Kirby designs, which I'm really pleased about.
Like over the past 5 years, I've certainly been more open to Kirby, and we did a whole episode about Jack Kirby. But,
So much so
that like you can see a Kirby design, you know, much like any great musician. As soon as you hear it, you know who that is. A Kirby design is exactly that. And in this comic, it's both. It both loves all that Kirby stuff, and it's true and it's faithful to it, but it's also telling that wonderful Tom King sort of style of narrative. And for me, my money, Tom King is probably one of the best writers in comics as we speak, hands down.
Yeah,
that man is. And I followed him from Once a Silver Sky or something? His novel, his superhero novel.
Oh, no, I've
novel.
Not read that. You mentioned that before. Yeah.
So I followed him like when he was just a guy who made a novel about superheroes. And now he's doing a great run on Batman. I've heard nothing but good things about that Batman run.
Yeah, I've downloaded that today, that Batman run.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he did the Amiga Men as well, which is really good.
And of course,
I read Miss Miracle, Vision. I've got it in front of me.
He did Vision. Which for my money, is one of the best books Marvel has put out in the past few years. Without doubt. I know you've read both volumes of that, haven't you, Dan?
Yes, great. Yeah. Love it.
Have you read that, Ian? Have you yet? Or
I haven't, to be honest. No, I mean, Mr. Miracle, I remember reading as a kid. Certainly interested in picking up the new, new version of it.
And it's very dark, isn't it?
Yeah, it's dark. There are moments of, like, it's hilarious. There's certainly a mystery going on with the High Father and, is it Granny Goodness? Is that one of the characters? Which is, it's playing
with
these characters.
That was an old online name, mine.
But there's all these characters that when Granny Goodness came about, I was like, what? that is such a 60s name, isn't it? That's so totally of its time. But the way she is in this story when she crops up, it just works brilliantly. You know, you're never taken out of the story. Tom King's dialogue and the mystery, like, there's something strange going on throughout the whole story. Like, you're not quite sure where you are in reality. There's an ongoing narrative, but there's an ongoing panel that keeps sort of saying Darkseid is, and it's just that, just those words, and that keeps cropping up throughout the whole story. And I would have thought that would be answered by now, but I'm on issue 4 and it hasn't been answered. But that's building up to be a major reveal, I would imagine. But you've got the brilliant relationship between Scott Free and Big Barda, because like anyone messes with Scott Free and she will crush them. She will literally just smash them to bits. But visually, I mean, as Tony said earlier, Mitch Gerards is leveled up to a point of no return almost.
Yeah.
I mean, he was doing Punisher. What was it before this? Punisher.
Did the Activity.
Did you do the Sheriff of Babylon?
Yes, he did that as well, yeah. It was very good still, but this is a whole different approach almost.
Completely, because he was doing a lot of stuff which was military, very much flak jackets, bulletproof vests, and like very technical sort of military equipment. And this is cosmic, and you know, but also real world.
And personal, isn't it? I'm just looking at it now. I've got the first four, and I intend to read them. I've just kind of, it's so good, I've been putting it off, but
You will blitz them. But you've got the printed editions, and obviously I've been reading it. It's the top of my stack. It's one of the first things I read as soon as it comes out in Comixology. And I read it in the Guide of View narrative, always do, and it works brilliantly. The pacing of it's brilliant, and the way, like, some of Mitch's, sometimes there's full pages which are just telling one scene.
Oh my god! I've just opened page 2. That is dark.
Of what issue?
Of issue 1.
Yeah, there is lots. I think issue
can't spoil
one.
That, can we?
In issue 1, I think the first couple of pages are fairly widescreen, and from then on, it goes to a 9-panel grid. Which most famously is it Watchmen? Most famously used that throughout most of it, and I didn't realise until today that's what most of the series is in the 9-panel grid, because I've been reading it in the Guide of View, so I haven't been aware of that. It's been working brilliantly because it's almost set up. You know, these little panels almost set up for the screen, and the pacing really works. So when I zoomed out and saw the whole page with 9 panels, it struck me. I'm not sure if I'd
have the same effect. You're saying on a page. Yeah.
I think for me, this one is works better on digital than the printed page.
Okay, that's but interesting, isn't it?
But saying that, seeing the work on the printed page is just beautiful stuff. You just can't take away from it.
Yeah. Do you know what? I love. I mean, we all love the actual physical comic, don't we? Sometimes the download is more convenient. But I picked this up, and the cover is beautiful. And I opened it, and it's beautiful inside. And then you turn it over the back, and you've got, in brightest day and blackest night, the Colonel finds his greatest fight, and it's a crossover comic between Green Lantern and Colonel Sanders. And I'm like, fuck's sake.
Yeah, you don't get any of that with the digital.
Thankfully.
But for me, also the pacing of the digital works, because Tom King, he has this sort of, it's almost a webcomic. You know those sort of newspaper strips, like the Garfield ones? There's a certain pacing to the humour and the joke. And this certainly has that. People walking off panel and coming back on. Sometimes, I mean, I'll be honest, it looks like Mitch has used exactly the same artwork and copied and pasted it. Because the dialogue in that panel works. Does that make sense? It's not lazy. For me, it's not lazy. It's just, you know, why redraw exactly the same thing again if it works? Totally right. But I can't recommend this one enough. Not being au fait with that. Is it the New Gods? Is that where he comes from?
Yeah, that's right. He's part of that whole sort of thing.
And I know nothing about that. So this is literally someone who's an outsider reading this, and I will recommend it to anyone, because it also packs an emotional punch. The end of issue 4 really tugged at my heartstrings, really did, and it's all because of the brilliant groundwork that they've laid in the first few issues. You know,
page two and three are a splash, and there's something going on there. I won't spoil for anyone, but pick it up. Like, oh my god, I didn't expect that in a Mr. Miracle comic.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. You know,
but you will also laugh out loud at some panels.
Right. Okay.
There is dialogue between these huge cosmic characters that's so almost mundane and down to earth that it creates that hilarity, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely check it out, Mr. Miracle from DC Comics. There's 4 issues so far. I don't know how many issues this run's going to be. Is it going to be ongoing?
I thought it was ongoing. I hope it is. Yeah. You know.
They'll be on it for, I reckon, at least 12 issues. Those two. At the very least, because no creators can ever, well, seemingly can ever do a real big ongoing, because normally, if especially with a smaller character, they do that character well and then they're poached. Do you know what I mean? that's normally what happens.
Yeah.
So Tom King has done a vision with Mr. Miracle. So can't say fairer than that.
Have to get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've just sent you the double page spread there, Dan, for you to look at.
Oh, nice.
You'll get an idea of what we're talking about there. Yeah.
Yeah. So even if you're not a DC fan, get it, because it's good comics. That's my recommendation.
Cool.
Yeah. So yours comes with a little bit extra, doesn't it, Tony?
Yeah. Shall I set up the interview and then I'll get into the review? Should we do that?
Yeah, do it.
So mine is Man's Best Friend. It's written by Scarlett and Sophie Rickard, who are sisters. Now, if you listen carefully to this interview, there's two things that have happened. One, they tell me their names and I get them wrong immediately. That's a Vince thing to do. Totally. Yeah, and me. And the other thing is I say, I can't think of any other sisters who do comics together, and that's because I'm an idiot. And I was a bit frazzled at the time. Of course, Julian and Mariko Tamaki do it as well, you know. So, who I believe are ex-guests at the Lakes, I'm going to say. Ian?
I'm not sure on that one.
He did the comic Skim. Good cracking creators. I know they've done LCAF, certainly. Mm-hmm. So to set this up, Gaz Harding was looking after the table for us, and I wandered off talking rubbish to people, come back, and he said, oh, there's a couple of creators here who've come to see the Awesome Pod just to show you their book. And I thought, that's nice. So I sort of hung about waiting for them to come back. And they came back, and Scarlett and Sophie are lovely, absolutely brilliant. And they showed me, they handed me a book and said, this is called Man's Best Friend. And it's a picture on the front of a man walking a dog. And I said, right, you got me, because everyone knows that I love dogs. And they handed me this book. And I immediately bought it from them. And we did a little bit of a short interview. And after this, I think we'll go into the weeds a bit about what the book's about. But they're really interesting, really sort of passionate. First time graphic novelists, I suppose, sort of dipped their toe in. They were at the Lakes. And I know you've reviewed it on your show as well.
We certainly have, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great little book, and we'll talk about it after this interview. Well, I've just been handed a book by Scarlett and Sophie. Who's Scarlett?
I'm Scarlett.
Scarlett.
And Sophie?
I'm Sophie.
Good. And it's called Man's Best Friend, which you've obviously
you've chosen the audience correctly because I'm a big fan of dogs. So who wrote and who drew? Scarlett, did you write it?
I'm Sophie. Yeah.
Crap. That's terrible. I'm not even going to restart. I'm so embarrassed.
I make up the stories. Scarlett draws the pictures.
Okay. Yeah. So how did it come about? Whose idea was it? You're sisters, aren't you?
We're sisters, and Scarlett's been saying, tell me what to draw, since before I could walk, probably. And so as children, she was always, always drawing, and I would provide content, I suppose. And maybe we've just never stopped. Okay. So I like to live in a fictional universe wherever possible, so I make up stories all the time, and sometimes I tell them to Scarlett, and this time we thought, let's do it properly this time.
Okay. So, yeah. Scarlett, did you want to explain to us what it's about?
Yeah, it's about a man called Terry, who lives in a little northern town, in a sort of semi-rural, sort of ex-industrial northern town, working in a boring job, working in online banking, and he has this enormous dog, Eric, that is really inconvenient and doesn't suit his lifestyle at all. And the world gets very difficult for Terry at work and socially, and unfortunately he makes some bad decisions.
Okay, so it's complications that arise from a dog, but there's a lot more to it. Is that a good description?
The dog is... Sorry.
I think there are points at which Terry very much feels like Eric has ruined his life. But I think...
This is a metaphor for something else, is it?
I think that's up to the reader. I think that the reader can see that there's more to this issue than just the dog. But, you know, there are some very low points in the book, but essentially it's a story of redemption.
It's funny.
It's funny, yeah. I'm making it sound serious, but it is funny. And it's got a very familiar vibe to anyone from the north as well. Yeah.
So you told me you've come down from Cheshire.
Yes.
And now you've come up from Folkestone.
Yeah.
And you met in the middle in Wimbledon.
Yes.
Brilliant. Okay.
We both grew up in the northwest in this area where the book is set. So
where is it set?
We've made it up.
It's
a town called Oldroyd, which is kind of a little bit Todmorden, a little bit Rossendale, a little bit of everything.
It's
really
a long way from Wimbledon.
It's a long way.
Metaphorically and in miles.
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So what spurred you on to work as sisters? It's not something you see much of, I'll be honest with you. We don't have many sisters in comics, do we?
We have met another sibling partnership, haven't we? The Etherington brothers.
Yes, you've got the Hernandez brothers, you get the Andrews. I'm thinking, sister, I can't think of any comparable. There probably are. There's somebody shouting at me now.
Well, meet them. We'd love to meet them if they were.
Let's have a fight with them.
Maybe not.
Okay,
maybe
no.
Draw pictures of each other or something.
So what brought it? How did it come about? Had you done comics beforehand?
Or? No, Scarlett's an illustrator professionally, amongst other things, and I really wanted to write for a living.
Okay.
So working together made perfect sense, because
also I think if you really want to do a book, working together you've got more chance of actually making it happen, because we're egging each other on all the time.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't know, it sort of came about by accident really, because I just was desperate for something. I wanted something to draw.
Okay.
And so I said to Sophie, I'm rubbish at stories. Tell me a story and I'll draw it.
So it's almost like you needed that creative output and you went to your sister for inspiration even? Yeah.
Well, she's always told me good stuff to draw. She comes up with the most obscure things. So.
We play a game sometimes that we've started putting them on Twitter with the hashtag tell me what to draw. And so when Scarlett's bored, she will text me and say, tell me what to draw. And so I have to think of something quick. And was... Recent one was 9 spiders having diversity training at work, wasn't it? That kind of thing.
I think I might start following you around that one.
Yeah,
that's brilliant.
Have a look on Twitter, you'll find them.
And this is quite a feat, because it's not just a comic, it's a bound...
How
many pages is it?
164.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's a full-length story. I mean, the action takes place only over 4 days, so it's quite a tight sphere. But yeah, it's a full-length book. But the only words in it are the dialogue. So it's not a difficult read.
So I know I get you. So there's no sort of exposition, there's no thought balloons,
pictures.
Does the dog think?
The dog thinks, but not visually.
How could we possibly understand Eric's thoughts? I think you see Terry think a couple of times,
a couple of times,
but only about work.
Okay. Cool. It is absolutely gorgeous. I have to say, you only just handed it to me, and I absolutely love it. I mean, I'm a big fan of dogs, as everyone knows, but this looks brilliant. Really nice. So, where can people buy it? Is it out yet, or?
Yeah, it's out. It's on the usual retailers' sites, but you can also get it from glupopbooks.com, and Stephen at page 45 lists it as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, page 45 in Nottingham.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Where can people follow you? Where can people find out a bit more about you?
At Glupop Books on Twitter, at Glupop Books on Instagram, and Glupop Books on Facebook.
Yep. And what about your illustration? Have you got a Tumblr or anything like that?
I haven't actually got Tumblr, but I'm Scarlett Rickard, so okay. Yeah, I've got my own website and stuff that people
easy
can
find
stuff.
So that's Man's Best Friend by Scarlett and Sophie Rickard. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And thanks for coming in.
Okay, that was nice, wasn't it? They're all right, weren't they?
It was lovely.
Lovely.
That's great.
So it's go a bit into it. It's published by Glupop Books by Scarlett and Sophie. It's colour. It's 160 odd pages long, and basically Terry Mann, who's the titular title, the titular character, he's got like a really crappy dead end sort of programming job. He's got a raft of sort of mounting red bills. He's got an annoyingly needy sister who's got this sort of slightly dodgy boyfriend, and they've got a he's got an inordinately huge dog called Eric, who's this dog. Now, I'm a softie. I can't watch Marley and Me. It makes me cry. So there was a point in this book where something happens to the dog. It doesn't die, don't worry. Something happens to the dog, and I'm like, oh my god. And I was on tenterhooks for the rest of the book. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Or at least next third of the book. And I'm like, oh, no. Anyway, something happens to Terry where he's accused of theft at work, and he gets suspended, and he gets drunk, and something happens that leads through the book, and you wonder how he can be that cruel, and is he, in fact, the person who's stealing money at work? And it plays with that. I mean, if you looked at it, you'd think it's sort of slice of life, I suppose. You know, if you looked at it from the outside looking in, you'd say, oh, this is sort of slice of life. But it's not. It's more than that. It's there's a little bit of the thriller element thrown into a sort of small town life. And there's also a bit of a love story going on, both platonically and romantically, in different aspects of it. It's really, really compelling. I bought and kindly was given a number of books at Wimbledon this year, and I had an hour and a half train journey back. And I sat there and I read this one in one go. And it's not a short book, and it's not short on dialogue, and it's not short on action and stuff like that. But I just soared through it and absolutely loved it. It's got a sort of sharpness to the dialogue and plot, but at the same time, it's sort of very, very sympathetic to the characters that she writes. She writes people really well. You understand what's going on. You understand the motivations of all the people in it, which I think is credit to the writing and to the art. But you also are waiting for the next shoe to drop through it. It almost had me shouting at the character in it at one point. It parades in front of you almost as a sort of drama stroke melodrama, because there's this little sub-story about his sisters getting married, and there's little mysteries about the saga from work and stuff, but it's not. It's more than that. It creates a little bit of a web of intrigue, actually, about it, about what's going on. And then he meets someone, Terry meets someone, a lady, and they build this bond over what has happened to Eric the dog. Very good. There's a couple of scenes I just wanted to draw attention to. One is that he's sitting there, and there's all kind of dramas happening in Terry's life, and he's sitting there with this woman he's met, and his phone keeps ringing, and he keeps ignoring it. So, and you keep looking at the phone, and one time it's his mum ringing, and the next time it's his boss from work ringing. And as they're talking, there's a sort of pause in the action. This goes on for sort of three or four pages. There's a pause in the action where you look at the phone, you think, is he going to answer it? And he doesn't. And you can almost feel the tension in the air. You can almost hear the phone ringing or sort of vibrating on the desk. And you think, is he going to answer that or something? You know, and I think sometimes punching people or spaceship crashing or submarines surfacing are the easier things to pull off in comics. Sometimes it's the small moments, you know, that are in a comic and are there for you to be kept interested in and to move the story along a bit are the ones that are the hardest to pull off, certainly in the writing aspects, I think. And that's why it's so good. as I say, it walks the line between being, to me, being a small press book, but also it's something that easily could be brought out by someone like Drawn and Quarterly, maybe, something like that. It's very, beyond that, though, it's very sort of succinctly British. There's lots of sort of, I don't know what you thought, Ian, did you find it that?
Definitely, I thought, we've absolutely loved reading it, to be honest. I think my line was, it's like a perfect Sunday afternoon movie.
Yes.
Sort of sits there, something you can just enjoy and just get sucked into their little world.
Yeah.
It's a lovely book.
Yeah, and she creates, the writing and the art create an environment that you are familiar with. You feel the village aspect to it, you know. And when they drive out to the golf club, you almost feel you know where the golf club is down the side roads and stuff like that, you know, in the rolling countryside. I'm going to say a touch of maybe Posy Simmons about it. Some of the art reminded me a little bit of that, and the storytelling certainly. But if you mix in with some of the facial aspects of the simplicity of someone like Scott McLeod, Terry himself is quite a sort of simple character where they drain the colour out of him a bit when he gets very hungover and stuff like that. At the start, I thought a couple of the scenery scenes were crammed in a little bit, but in retrospect, I'm thinking that maybe was a bit on purpose, because right towards the end of the book, there's a moment that happens, I won't spoil it, where the art completely sort of slows down, and there's a moment with a couple of swallows who are just sort of flying through the air, and you think, oh, okay. Scarlett does an absolutely brilliant job on the art. She, I think in the interview she says she likes her sister to tell her what to draw, and she draws it, and it's kind of, I think it's a real sort of simpatico relationship they have. It will break your heart a little bit, the book, and at the end you'll have a little bit of a smile on you, maybe. It's a really beautiful little read. I had real fun, and it was and there were genuinely nice people who had a book that they brought down to show us, and it was quite nice that they'd come up, and you occasionally get given a book, don't you, and you think, I really want people to read this, and I really want this to do well. And I think it's a worthy book to promote, because you know there's books, like we said, for everyone. And a guy who something happens to his dog and he meets a girl, and you think, that's really good, that's, you know, it really well done. If you go to www.gluepotbooks.com or at gluepotbooks on Twitter, you can see some examples of the art and stuff like that. Yeah, genuinely go and have a look for it. Really, really good stuff.
They're currently preparing the next book as well, aren't they? So hopefully at some point, yeah, there's more on the way.
Brilliant. Nice. Excellent. Yeah. And I know, for example, there's a couple of conventions that we've spoken about earlier that I think they might be appearing at. We were chatting about it earlier, and I was chatting to a convention organiser about possibly getting them on. So, yeah, good stuff. Yeah, there you go.
Awesome.
So, nice.
It's been another jam-packed show full of great comics and even greater chat.
it's gone Partridge.
Gone full on Partridge. Always does around this time. And thank you again, Ian, for joining us. You're welcome.
No, thank you very much.
Cheers, Ian.
And, I guess what's also welcome is your feedback, folks. You can get in touch with us and let us know what you thought about this show and more. You can email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Give us your competition entries. Yeah, you could win 12 months of Comic House. Yeah, Comic House subscription.
Can't wait to see them.
Yeah, they'll be going to tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. No matter how sexy they are, that's where you should send them.
Yep, please do.
Follow us on Twitter @TheAwesomePod, where, of course, sometimes we talk gibberish, we retweet whatever the hell we want, and sometimes we announce who's going to be on the next show and do a poll or two. So stay tuned to that. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast, and join the group to take part in on Facebook, which is Awesome Comics Talk. I say that, I haven't taken part in it in a couple of weeks, but you know, that's because I'm a horrible...
There's been some good things recently up on there. Yes, really good stuff. Yeah.
You don't need me, because there's so many great people on there. Like,
we need you.
No, we need you.
Don't say that. That's
cool. They're pretty tough, man.
I both appreciate that and also feel you're being a little bit patronising. but I'll let you off, Dan, because it's you.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you for listening to us, whether it was on the website awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife, Tony's Pod Life, wherever the network is that you found. you want to cut down on your pork life, mate. Get some exercise.
Don't people shout that at Russell Brand concerts now? Just because he sounds like he's talking in that song, the way he delivers stuff. People just shout "Park Life" at when he sort of takes a breath. I think it annoys him, which is quite good.
Yeah. Amazing. yes, but if you heard us on a network, or if you can leave a review, please do. Helps get the word out about the show, and therefore more people finding out about great indie comics that they should be checking out.
Yeah, definitely.
So, where can people find us online and beyond? Esmond?
If you go to Ezohyz on Twitter, or if you go to neverironanything.blogspot.co.uk, you can find some reviews that I've stuck up this week. Thank you.
Brilliant. Dan Butcher?
You can find me on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at vanguardcomic.com.
Brilliant, which is on form at the moment, Dan. It's going well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Oh, yeah. Every week I'm checking it out thinking, who's going to die this week?
Someone did die last week.
And they did. I couldn't believe it. But it's worth reading. It's awesome. And you can follow me at Jester Diablo. Find out more about my comic at theredmaskfrommars.com. And also you can still order the digital of my prose novel, Devil Kickers, which I've co-written with Daniel Mark Chant, and I'm very, very proud of.
Yeah, I'm reading that. I was just talking to Tony about it in the week.
Yeah.
Oh God, really? Yeah. You were talking about me and I wasn't there. Oh no. I'm really worried.
It's kind of, when I'm reading it, it's like I'm kind of reading it to myself in your voice.
You've very much come through
the book.
I'm trying to figure out what you've written, which bits you've written, and which bits your mate's written, because that's like my cunning little game I play with myself whilst reading it as well. It's very good, dude. Yeah. You've
really
clearly written the woman riding about on the bed, because you had me act it out that time, didn't you? Do you remember?
Just for any listeners who are wondering what the hell he's talking about, there is a woman who has been possessed by a demon at the start of the book. it's not like 50 Shades of Brown.
Oh, is that why you kept shouting, "Look at my demon," that time?
That was something completely different, and that's a completely different WhatsApp group, Tony. You know that. Yes, but please, if you get a chance and you read on the Kindle, then you can get it on Amazon. And we're just finalising the print version, so that'll be available soon. Cool. I know you lovely people like hard copies as well.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
You love it hard, Tony.
Oh, and, soft option. I go either way.
It's true. Depending on the flavour of the crisp. Ian, where can people find you and your great show, etc.?
You can follow us on Twitter at Comic Art Fest Pod, and also website comicartpodcast.uk for all the information about the podcast, and also link on the Comic Art Festival website as well.
Awesome. Cool. You've just had an episode recently, so is that true?
There's one. It would come out the 1st and the 15th.
1st and the 15th of every month. Yes, there you go.
So we've got one coming out in a few days.
That's how you know when it's a good podcast, when they've got a schedule, when they're regular.
I need to be regular.
Well, perhaps you should eat more fibre, but that's between you and Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you all for listening, folks. It's been another fun week. And from Dan, Tony, Ian and myself, have a brilliant week. Read loads of comics. Tell us all about them on Facebook, etc. And as always, see you next time and stay awesome. See ya.
See ya.
See ya. Cheers.